Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... Stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Not what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on till 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Doing. It's another episode of the High Council here. I am your host, the mechanic, the MC on this here High Council. I got a couple things lined up. A couple of clear hypocrisies. A couple of doctors faking vaccine status and getting arrested. I got a hijacker, Mr. Rogue, Deacon John, Two Feathers. I got the hijacker, Deacon John. I didn't forget you. There we go. That'd be about everybody on the call. But there are some feelers out to other people. Hang tight, folks. We'll be back in just a little bit. Enough of that tonight. That's a great little tune. It's out of a little place called Film Noir. Little background music for mostly detective movies, but I've always liked that kind of feel. We'll start off with Deacon John, a couple minutes each or whatever you got to say. We'll go around the table. It's the High Council. Welcome. Man, what a shit show we find ourselves here in the United States. Deacon John, what do you got? How are you?
Yeah, I mean, The three big areas are what, you know, the Ukraine shifting over the weapon systems, and the war of words going back and forth, and then of course over here the Second Amendment, the shootings, and of course gas is almost $5 a gallon here in Ohio. So I don't know how much longer this can go on or what people can tolerate. But those are I'm particularly looking at the shootings, and I wonder what they're going to try to ban. I think they're going to try to ban high capacity, so-called high capacity magazines and some other stuff. But we'll see. So y'all better get what you need to get now. Go ahead.
Mr. Rowe.
I make the following statement. I would like to take this opportunity to exercise my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America on the grounds that anything I say may serve to incriminate me. Thank you.
We've got two feathers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to take this opportunity to plead the First Amendment and solidify my First Amendment rights to be able to speak freely wherever I feel free to do so. I feel like I want to do so, that I shouldn't be hindered and trampled upon my God-given right to be able to speak freely in the public setting at any time. Thank you.
On RevolutionRadioFreedomSystem.com. I think our last one here that didn't get to talk. Hijacker, how you doing?
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at like the three hot spots. The Ukraine, Russia's going on nuclear drills, big drills in the Baltic, 45 ships, lots of planes. The other big hot spot, Middle East, the Israeli, literally hundreds and hundreds of planes they did on a complete mock-up practice run for bombing Iran with Cyprus. You're talking about their AWACS in the sky, their tanker refuelers, and they didn't even have the United States, or at least the United States said they had no direct involvement. So literally they flew hundreds of planes from Israel to Cyprus and back to mimic the distances with tanker refuelers. And then the third thing is what Jamie Dimon has said to all the elite of the elite in, I don't know if it was Jackson Hole, Wyoming, but he was talking to all the elite. It was one of these panelists or TED talkers. And
are you talking about Davos? Because that's in Switzerland, bro.
Well, maybe that's where it was. I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, go ahead.
What Dimon said, he says, I'm changing my forecast from there are storm clouds gathering to get ready, brace yourself. We got an economic hurricane, which could be a superstorm. In other words, a cat 5 hurricane that's coming in.
Yeah.
And
total housing crash, car crash, all of it.
Right. Somebody that was there said that as soon as he quit talking and everybody left, everybody was on their cell phone calling their investment bank, their fund manager, their corporation. Yeah. But he lit them up, which means everybody's going to start cutting back. Everybody's going to start. And that's the other thing he said. He says, we're going to be very conservative what we do with the balance sheet now. Not doing as many loans, as many mortgages. And, of course, Jamie Dimon, he's his bank is, it's not Wells Fargo. It's, Jamie Dimon. Come on.
Citibank.
Citibank or Goldman Sachs, maybe?
Yeah. Citibank.
Somebody can look it up. But anyways, shockwaves went out. And that in itself, by a guy like that, saying that, he can trigger a whole herd mentality like what happened in 2008, to where everybody, it was like all the corporations all at once, you know, or maybe it was 2005, you know, that we had a like a self-induced mini recession. So Yeah, storms gathering. Go ahead.
That's 100%. I think everybody's been around, right? So we did that, and nobody else has joined. Mr. Rowe, he had his say. Everybody's good. As for me, I got a few things to add. So just a little reflection on the election real quick. I'm not going to get too far into this. I'm having a good time going door to door. I never thought canvassing would be this it's like I'm being drawn to this thing. It's not really adrenaline what I'm looking for, but it's very flattering. It's very, very flattering. When you the door opens in front of you, and it's just you and another dude. You know, he looks a little rough around the edges. And, you know, a kid and the mom. So it's like usually a family setting. Sometimes we have more or less canvassers. I think the most we ever have is like 10 or 15, you know, that canvass with us door to door. And we have a 2-hour window, you know, 5 and 7, you know. And we feel that 7's too late and over 5 is too early because most people are at work. So we're trying to catch that window during dinner and it kind of sucks. But we feel this is the best way. And I think we're having success. I think that the level here is the right one to be on. And so what I'm doing is and I get a door to open. And when the person in front of me is relating to the things I'm saying and telling me to my face, you know what, I'm going to get online right now and I'm going to change my voter status and update my registration and I'm going to vote for you, bro. Awesome. And I'm not saying much. I'm just saying what everybody else refuses to talk about. Which, you know, people have refused my sign that are on my side. And they said it's out of fear of retaliation because they don't know who's going to, you know, it's like businesses don't want to put my sign up because they feel that people will see it and not shop there. And this is unfortunately a real thing. In a way, I'm a little bit like the Trump demonization that took place in the United States, but it's at a micro level. There are various lies being made. Although I haven't been called homophobic or xenophobic or anything like that. I have been called a misfit, a degenerate, a troublemaker, a loudmouth, a punk, a bunch of other swear words that I won't get into. You know, I've been assaulted. A disinformationist, you know, a lie peddler, conspiracy theorist. All of this is in the newspapers, in some of the public opinion, you know, letters to the editor. You know, quite frankly, I smell desperation out of these clowns. That's all right. They dug this hole themselves, and they better hope I don't win, because I got big plans. But that's about enough of that.
Fellas, Cuba is now accepting travel from the United States.
Who is?
Cuba. You can travel to Cuba from America. Biden says it's A-okay to go see Fidel. Is he still around? I don't think so.
Fidel Castro?
I think he's his brother now.
Yeah, guys, listen, anything goes on the table. Obviously, I got a few things here, but I think this is one of the most compelling stories right now.
I think it's a good sign for you, though, Mechanic. I think you might actually pull this thing off and maybe start a whole wave of taking back, you know, we have to take back our counties one by one locally and just not comply with whatever the federal mandates are. You know, they're going to come down and they're going to say things, but I think that treaty didn't go through either.
No, the treaty got rejected.
It's not like somebody can go off and sign the Constitution.
No, you just it doesn't even add up. It doesn't even make any sense. No.
I think they're trying to gauge the waters to see how ignorant people are.
Yeah. And that's out the window. So that's the whole thing. I knew I kind of had my suspicions that that's the way it would go. Rand Paul tends to talk about these ahead of time, and then they get squashed. So that's like the second win for Rand Paul right there. yeah. So I will. We'll see. You know what direction this goes in, but let's see. In other news,
Fauci, Uncle Fauci says.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go.
Chronic COVID yearly booster shots. So all you people that are coming down with those breakthrough cases of chronic COVID, you got COVID forever, you're going to have to get your booster shots. But that's okay because you're used to it, because I guarantee you, you're the ones that got the shots in the first place. People that didn't get them, they don't get chronic COVID.
Yeah, if you have natural immunity, you won't get chronic COVID. But if you're vaccinated...
Or the blistering side effects they call monkeypox.
Yeah, or shingles.
Yeah.
Which is the same
thing. It's on the first page.
Yeah.
The document says it's right on the first page.
What else it says in the documents that I just discovered? Hepatitis. Hepatitis. And there's a 5,000% increase in hepatitis amongst children right now.
Normal now. It's always been that way.
Yeah, it's being normalized now. Heart attacks in children being normalized now. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I can't talk about it. Never mind. Sorry. I forgot. I can't go that way. All right. Damn, I hate this leash. I'll get over it. I have some news on the mom and the son and their doctor visit. Just a lot of denial from the office, and they don't want to link anything to the vaccines, and they're just, you know.
Oh, doctors are baffled, I think. Marion Barber, dead, played for Cowboys. He from 2005 to 2010. He's 38 years old, or was 38 years old. He's dead now.
Huh. Triple vaxxed?
Not sure, but people are saying, yeah, it was probably vaccine related.
Well, no shit. So, yeah, this is going to continue to happen. The death toll is going to rise and rise and rise. And eventually it's going to get to a point where people are talking about it. Go ahead.
Somebody made a sarcastic remark, which is not actually sarcastic, but it kind of is. It's sudden adult death syndrome. But you know what? Sudden infant death syndrome is actually from vaccinations.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
People that are like, oh, you know, sudden infant death syndrome. The vaccine pharmaceutical industry made that shit up to cover for what's happening.
100%.
And that's what, yeah. The babies, your baby that died sudden infant death syndrome, it was because they had a shot.
That's a vaccine. A sudden infant death syndrome is a adverse effect from a vaccine.
Yeah. I looked up, I was doing some personal research. And there's a lot of evidence that supports this. I mean, it's ridiculous. I was kind of like, because I never really correlated it, and I don't have a child myself. So, but I did some side research, and I'm like, holy crap, they've got numbers and correlations. It's there. But the pharmaceutical industry is so powerful with so much money that they can just sort of, you know, yeah, forget about it. You don't know nothing to see here.
So, what do you think the pharmaceutical company has to say when a mom is breastfeeding and she, you know, fills up a bottle with a pump and notices that the color's different, but she continues to feed it to her baby. And there's a report coming out by the FDA and the CDC saying that if you're vaccinated, you should not be breastfeeding.
And why is that?
Why is that? What? Very interesting question. Yeah, they're because the it's the vaccine, and it's clearly a toxic. It's a toxic. It's toxic. I mean, this is multi-generational effects, right? This has a multi-generational effect. We're talking about it's murder, not just in who dies from the vaccine. It's murder when you have an individual male, say, who is sterilized. That's murder. You guys got to understand that. Does anybody disagree with that comment? It's murder to sterilize somebody against their will. That's murder.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, you murder their lineage. There's another study that's come out with Pfizer. So they did this big study.
They got hacked, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, of a lot of women. And of this group of women, I don't know how many it was, but 36 of them became pregnant during the study. Of the 36, 28 had miscarriages, or they had to have an abortion, deformity, whatever. Now they're finding out about baby die-offs in Ottawa. Like 87 babies would be born, stillborn. Scotland, which is almost all vaccinated, they're having a large baby die-off of people that are pregnant that have got
vaccines. Then you got those black-eyed kids. Who knows what they're going to grow up to be like? I mean, if they're going to be like, you know, I think they're going to be off. There's something tells me that this next generation of humans is going to be something different.
Yeah, no, this is...
They're going to be on the short bus, bro. I'm telling you, short bus.
This is going to be the cascading events that are converging.
They don't need a World War III. That's why I just don't think that's going to happen. They just don't need it. It's a much slower pace. It's less effort. You get families just burying their own, no questions asked. Doctors aren't rebutting cause of death. They're not bringing the vaccine into the equation. They've getting their $39,000 for putting people on ventilators, for giving people remdesivir, for knowingly participating in murder. They're going to continue to do it. It's a slower process. A war, you know, there's collateral damage. And right now, they can't afford collateral damage to their own organizations, like Davos and all these guys. Because you never know what happens wherever you're at. People get wind of where you're at. You're one of these guys out there. You can put yourself in danger, you know? Elite homosexuals, you know, you're in a hotel room with some male hooker. You know, you work for the World Economic Forum, and, you know, at night you're out there, you know, and you get busted. A couple pictures are afloat. Next thing you know, you're compromised. Go ahead, Jagger.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell the Israelis that they just did a massive drill. Hundreds and hundreds of fighters. So that somebody says that they're on the verge of a big dust up with the Iranians.
I believe that that's a bigger possibility than Russia starting World War III. I think that the Iranians and Israel, yeah. And I see America getting involved and then going after Iran, and then Russia telling America back off, China telling America back off. And then
what does America do? America keeps throwing missiles over there. We're sending missiles to Russia's front door, and Russia's like, you better stop it. And Joe's like, here, something more. Yeah, and Russia's like, we're gonna nuke you. And Joe's like, send some more. That's what we're doing.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I read this rumor the other day that Putin was dead. I called bullshit on that. But anyways. Here's one for you. U.S. Senator introduces law to stop the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. May 30th, 2022. So, Senator Rick Scott has introduced a bill to prevent the adoption of the World Health Organization's global pandemic treaty. The Florida lawmaker... Out of Florida, huh? Shocker. The Florida lawmaker called the treaty radical and said it would give unprecedented power to the global health body. The WHO's radical pandemic treaty is a dangerous globalist overreach. The United States of America must never give more power to the WHO. The WHO is a puppet of Xi Jinping, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, and helped Beijing cover up the origins of COVID-19, said Scott. This is a Florida federal lawmaker. You got to love it. We must quickly pass the bill to ensure that public health matters in the country remain in the hands of Americans, not globalist puppets working for communist China. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. 194 member states that make up the WHO met in Switzerland for the 75th World Health Assembly this week. The Global Accord on Pandemic Prevention was the forefront of issues discussed at the assembly. Critics have said that the treaty would infringe on the sovereignty of nation states by giving the WHO more power to meddle in state affairs. The proposed regulations, in combination with existing ones, allow action to be taken by WHO, said Dr. Peter Bregan. If the director general considers, based on an assessment under these regulations, that a potential or actual public health emergency of international concern is occurring, Scott's bill would prevent any U.S. official from treating as binding any directive or order issued from the World Health Assembly, thus the WHO, or its agents or branches. In my opinion, we should have the same thing in place for the IMF, the CRF, the UN, the WEC, right? The WEF, right? I mean, we just start naming it. We should add this bill for all of them. Additionally, it would require Americans' representatives to WHO oppose any changes to the WHO charter unless both houses of Congress vote to adopt the change in a joint resolution. In Canada, Conservative MP and leadership candidate Leslin, something like that, Lewis has been outspoken about the proposed treaty. Of even more concern is this treaty is enshrined. The WHO would be in full control over what gets called a pandemic. Yeah, this article points out some real concerns, right? Some very real concerns. But at the same time, even if they were to sign it, specifically Deacon here, even if they were to sign something like that, and who's they? Like the president?
The president?
He doesn't have the power. Who's they? Who signs this treaty?
He can sign an executive treaty, but it can't do – okay, so there's different – the most common type of treaty is the president, the executive, negotiates a treaty with a foreign nation and proposes it, finalizes it. The Senate has to ratify a treaty by two-thirds vote. Then there's something called an executive treaty, which he can sign, which is a lesser that type of thing, but it can't approach what a regular treaty is. So, I mean, it's a minor thing. It can't really – none of the treaties can impair anybody's constitutional rights, okay? So that's why they chose this
– they're essentially –
the emergency shit, yeah, because they know they couldn't get it through, yeah.
That's right. That's what you're looking for, repugnant, right?
Repugnant to the Constitution.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right.
So. And Rick Scott, for people who don't know who he is, he used to be the governor of Florida. And so there's some politics involved here. He's seeing DeSantis is running away with it. And him being from Florida, maybe he thinks he can jump in too, because he already knew that the WHO treaty was dead. And then he puts his bill forward, so he already knew. So I'm smelling politics, that he's thinking about jumping in there. If nothing else, to split the DeSantis vote. If we make it that far, I don't even think we're going to make it that far. I think all hell's going to break loose this fall. There's too many things that have gone wrong.
Too many things that have gone wrong, and I think our only solution is locally. And you said this a few times yourself. If we don't strike locally, we don't stand a chance. It's already in the bed at the high levels. The only way this is really fixed is locally. There's no other alternative. Really, there isn't.
Right. And the only way people really can get in is if there's a local conservative council of the activists all working together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the people can create their own grand juries. They don't need to rely on a county grand jury.
Right, but I'm saying is fundamentally the key thing is to politically get organized locally. And for whatever reason, people just won't do it. Nobody will do it. It's just...
That's not true. In a lot of counties, they've done it. And surprisingly, in California, there's a little county called... I don't know what the name of the county is. I know the name of the municipality. It's Oroville. The municipality, the city of Oroville, has determined and reflected so publicly under statute that they are a people's republic. And they're so far, they are standing true to this. And it's in California. They've rejected the government's narrative. They never closed their businesses. They went moving forward, business as usual. And from what I understand, there's been no compromise. Sorry, I missed the red pill. Holy. Mr. Crawford, coming at you. Got you right here. Boom. Here we go. My apologies, Chief. All right. Stand by. And it's like the red pill will be making his way in here. Mr. Stephen Crawford, straight out of Canada, another candidate up there in Canada.
Oh, they're taking away their handgun rights over there. I want to
take away your guns. They just stopped selling guns in Canada. Mr. Crawford.
How's it going, guys?
No more handguns in Canada, man. Where are you at?
Well, it's a good thing I know Kung Fu, you know. But it's about all I can say at this point.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh. Justin Trudeau needs a bitch slap. That, you know, I've got to be careful because I don't want to incite, and yet at the same time I do, you know.
I see. Well, I'll say it for you. Trudeau needs a big slap in the face.
I don't know if you guys knew it or not, but I got my hair cut. Y'all knew I was like a long-haired friggin' freaky person.
Yeah, I shaved my beard off, so join the club. Man.
Actually, my hair's almost as short as yours, mechanic.
Wow. I shaved my head.
Yeah, I know. Oh, mine's just about an inch longer than that.
Okay. I'm jealous. I haven't had a haircut in 30 years. So.
Yeah, listen, yeah, save it. And I don't need, listen, people come at me and they want to talk hair. I'm like the last guy. Like, why would you ever go to a bald guy and talk about your hair? Like, people just, you know, I don't know if that's part of social etiquette, you know, what that really is, but you don't go to a bald guy and talk about your hair. It's like the same thing. It's like you don't go, you know, to a salon and talk about, you know, the differential gears in your F-250.
Well, no, a guy like me, dude, you know how long my hair was. So I, like, to me, comparable... It would be comparable to you. I have, because you're the only other guy I've seen. Nobody else will show their face on here. You're all a bunch of freaking cowards.
I see.
Mechanics, so I got no choice.
It's been on like, several times.
Yeah, you know. So you're the closest I can compare it to. And plus, you're the only other guy. Now, Hijacker, I love you, bro. And you're right. A lot of people aren't going out and doing what they're supposed to.
Oh, you want to know what Hijacker looks like? Just tune into 1985 Taxi. He was just take a big guess, Mr. Christopher Lloyd. All right, Hijacker, right there.
Sorry,
Hijacker's name. I want to say Jim. Who did Christopher Lloyd play in Taxi? Wasn't it Jim, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Yep.
Yeah, Jim. Oh, yeah, Jack, where you at?
I'm listening.
Sorry we were putting you to sleep, bro. We're not talking.
Our election's here tomorrow.
Sorry.
So, yeah, I do. I just wanted to say, you know, don't even vote none of the above. That's the party I'm running for. I found out that those pricks are actually controlled opposition.
Come on.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, like, the guy, the leader of the party sent me a nasty message.
No.
Oh, yeah. And because the message he sent me was about the meme that got me put back into Facebook jail.
Okay.
So I was like, dude, you begged me to join.
What you're doing? You better wash your ass, bro.
Oh, no, dude. It's like, I've got no kids. Well, I mean, I got kids, but they're all grown. They're all gone. I got nothing to worry about. I want, and actually, considering that news, I want to join the Conservative Party here in Canada and see what I can do about the federal election. Because, you know, I'm doubting very much I'm going to win. Even though I'm in third place at this point, out of nine, it blew my mind, out of nine different parties in Oakville, I'm in third place. And I should be like sixth or seventh because I haven't run. I have no campaign. Nobody's helping me. And I haven't even been to Oakville in like 3 years. You know, like, it's wild.
Yeah, man, my situation is different than that. That sucks. I'm
well,
sorry.
Well, everybody knows you, though. So, like,
yeah, because you got to think about it. When we were in the green room, I had mentioned that I felt that I started my campaign 2 years ago.
Right. I'd agree with that.
So, I think people have already made up their mind about me. And the fact that I got on the ballot kind of solidified it for a lot of people. I'm going door to door. I'm not getting a door shut in my face. Not one. Not one.
Yeah.
No door shut in my face. People giving me the time, hearing me out, taking my bio, reading it, responding in text, thanking me for running. You know, all kinds of statements being made. I'm actually changing the hearts and minds of people. People that have known my opponent for 25-plus years telling me, yeah, I'm probably voting for her, blah, 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 blah. And then I tell them, oh, yeah, she's for forced vaccination in order to have a job. Oh, no, no, that ain't going to fly. No, I just had adverse effects from that vaccine. I had to go to the hospital 3 times. I'm still not healed from it. Aphylactic shock. Still not healed from it. Been 6 months. Yeah, no longer voting for her. Where do I sign? Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah. I love you and I'm proud of you, man. Like, that's friggin' awesome. Whether you win or not, like you said, you have changed hearts and minds. Look, everybody out there, it doesn't matter if you're Canadian, European, UK, Canada, whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all being screwed. We're all being screwed by the parties that we keep voting for. How can you possibly believe for 1 second that a friggin' millionaire or a friggin' billionaire gives two shits about you or your family? And the fact that you do just shows that you need to sit down, shut up, and let the adults get back into the friggin' room and save the friggin' planet.
But they told us on TV that they do. And I'm always seeing, like, all this reinforcement. I mean, you are not saying that they would lie to us. Hey, do you think that that hospital where the people were shot was a gun-free zone? Another gun-free zone.
Wait, a hospital now?
It's a Tulsa Medical Center. Guy went in with a rifle and a handgun.
I'll bet it's gun-free.
Was it a military installation?
No. Killed four or five doctors and nurses.
Okay, now was this place closed 2 or 3 years ago, and then decided to reopen it?
It was a vaccine center. It's a medical school institute. So
they're in on it anyway. Yeah.
Right. I think the guy went in there to get even. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
Absolutely.
Get even for what, though? Like,
I mean, why is a black guy going to go to a medical facility and shoot a bunch of nurses and doctors?
Wait, no, he was a dark-skinned white man.
Right, but I'm saying he was settling a score. Somebody did something to him or his family.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's probably a Candace Williams fan. And he was like, wait a minute, we've been on a plantation this whole time? Holy shit. And decided to go and shoot some people.
Now, why did he go for the doctors and the nurses and skip all the patients?
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and a black man going, there was a video on, it was out everywhere, about a black dude going, saying this stuff. There's all these doctors and nurses protesting outside a hospital. And he goes, yeah, all Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And you're all for the black man. Yeah. What about black babies? And they all shut up. He goes, that's what I thought. Yes.
Wow.
All for black lives.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Damn straight.
I wonder, when certain bureaucrats and elected officials start to behave in a manner that makes them appear guilty of something. Jack, you said something like, what did you say? You said, they have intel that I don't. So you think.
Well, and, they're also members of the Satanic Covens. You're not.
They know.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by Freemasons. So this is something that.
Not just Freemasons, but not just Freemasons, but, you know, deep occult. Dark occult that it's parallel to Freemasons. Sometimes, you know, it's completely separate. There's darker regions of the political world than you think.
Yeah.
Well, because you were never involved in inter-party politics and polling and that type of thing. So, Mechanic, this is the kind of stuff they know. They know who in the county has voted in the last 10 elections, for instance. How they voted, there's a way you can figure that out based on when they vote. And like you'll get some people do nothing but straight ticket. And that's a marker. And then you can actually see how everybody else kind of voted right after that. But so something's telling them that you are a threat. They got some polling. They wouldn't have gone so negative on you, especially in the newspaper here in the home stretch these last couple of days.
Yeah.
Something's alarmed them.
Yeah. They're dropping a lot of coin to publish bullshit on me in the paper.
Right. And so that what they're doing is they're hoping that it's enough to tamp it down. And the other thing to look for, if it is a large voter turnout, for instance, if normally only 700 or 800 people show up to vote, and then all of a sudden this election 1500 turn up to vote and you still lose, that means they stuffed the ballot. Right, the enthusiasm was created by you, not by your opponent. So there's no reason, if the numbers are high, a high turnout, would it have to fall to the incumbent? It falls to the person creating the energy, which is the opposition, which would be you.
But that's actually, you know what? Sorry, hijacker, but Mechanic, let me ask this before I forget. Has anybody approached you with any offers to make you drop out? Like, we'll pay you $20,000 if you drop out of the race, that type of shit?
Oh, no. I put that notion to rest at the very beginning.
Okay, well, no, people you can tell by their personality they're not going to work out.
Yeah,
you know, you can.
I'm not
you can
the see. One, and you know right away I'm not the one.
Right, so they would never even try to approach him. They already know what the answer is, and then he would turn around and probably use it as a weapon. So
yeah, it would just be interesting because I haven't either. But mind you, I'm not really a threat. Like I don't get to be as public because I'm running in a city that I don't even live in.
I'm really problematic, and it just ended up that way. It's not something I planned.
Yeah, well, it's still, I think you've got a lot better chance of it working out for you, and I really hope it friggin' does, man, because we need somebody up there with some friggin' attitude who's just going to say it like it is, maybe without the square words, but just tell it like it is. All you got to do is be authentic, man. Be who you are, whether you win or lose. And then run again if you do lose, because people are going to see that authenticity. And if you got one more chance, if we've got time for you to have one more chance, then just freaking go for it and just be you.
Yeah, somebody asked me a question.
Yeah, and then the other thing, mechanic, people vote by name. So of your ethnic background, do you have a lot? Do you have a strong ethnic last name?
Yeah, my direct ancestors are the Dalton brothers. They used to rob trains in the U.S.
Tell them your bisexual Democrat.
My other side?
Yeah, I was thinking they're going to dig your past up. Go ahead.
Yeah, check it out. My other side, you can dig it right up, and it'll come out to a mafia family located in Sicily. I still have about 100 or so family members living there. So, yeah, there's that.
Do you have a strong Italian name then?
Yeah, very, yeah.
Okay, how about the demographics where you're at? Are there a lot of Italians there?
Maybe a small amount, under 10%.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they'll just vote name.
Yeah. But I'm not using the Italian name up here, though, so it's all good. I'm using, like, a Hungarian Slavic name.
Yeah, I just some places you can tell demographics. You know, like if you're going to run, be a politician in Boston, you better have an Irish name.
Well, I agree with that sentiment. That makes sense to me. Up here, I don't think the name is necessarily playing a role up here. I think you're absolutely right about the beard.
Oh, I'm right about that.
Beard was top five calls of this campaign. Yeah.
Your suit from the men's whorehouse, right? I mean the men's warehouse.
I look good. I'm not going to lie.
You're going to like the way you look.
That's I'm right. A sexy bitch.
You know, my 20s. So it's a constant. It's a compliment almost daily now. And it's, you know, I'm just not used to it. And I'd rather just grow the beard back. But anyway. Okay.
Click the camera. I'll show you my haircut. You show me your clean face.
Yeah, no. listen, these are all worthy. These are all pointless little gestures that I'm willing to do. You know, I don't know how much the influence or the impact is there, but I know I've learned a few things. And gentlemen, I will tell you that the majority of patriots here are females.
Yeah, same here.
The majority of cowards are the males in this county, and I mean the county. It's bad.
Well, that's good about the majority of
ignorant are the males.
The coward of the county. That's a
been reduced to this like skinny jean man bun. like, I'm not even registered. I don't know what's going on. I'm not paying attention. I don't work anyways. Mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's females vote a lot more than males, by the way.
Yeah,
they're very much more concerned, and they have
older females vote.
It's almost like they have more of a spine. It's, you know, it's
absolutely
test. Go ahead.
No, you're right. They do have more of a spine, and you're also right, Jacker. I think the female demographic is more active in the voting realm than the male. Males are and the males are cowards. It's the mama bears that are. To get passionate.
Yeah,
about.
It's the mama bears.
You think women are going to be swayed by these shootings to put, you know, to go along with this unconstitutional gun grab? Obviously, that's why they're killing kids to get to the women, right? I mean, the demographics, right? With the political,
they're trying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying. I mean, sheesh.
They want everybody dead. They won't stop at the kids, but they want everybody dead.
Biden says he's going to use executive order to control gun violence. And the
no, he's not.
Yeah, okay. Okay, dude, whatever, bro. I'm not impressed. Look, do what you got to do.
Hey, what's up with him traveling along? People are getting pictures of him, like, flying, like, on regular airplanes carrying his own bags, and they're saying, why is the president of the United States flying like a regular person? Shouldn't he be on Air Force One surrounded by freaking security?
It's not the body double. It's not like his just lookalike or whatever.
It's weird. I mean, they're like in your face with it. Like, there he is. Nobody cares. Everybody's just like, oh, he's at the mall. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. Interesting. Man, I don't even know where to go from here. I got a couple of things lined up here. Again, here's another title. Woman with gun shoots, kills man who arrives at graduation party, shooting at guests. So here's the gist. Dude rolls up. Okay. He's not wanted there. There's a little bit of an argument. Dude gets back in his car and leaves. Comes back a little bit later, pulls a gun out of the car, and starts opening fire. Happens to be a lady hanging out at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out her own gun and puts this dude in the ground with two shots.
Wow, nice.
You know, that's the thing. With the more gun violence, they may just actually activate something in America. You know, because I was just thinking.
Black woman, by the way. Oh, black female. Legal gun owner. Black female. Love it. Love it.
Know, beautiful. If you're a normal American, normal person, whatever, and you see some ding-dong with a gun, you're going to – what's your first reaction? If you're armed, probably take your gun out and shoot him like that. And I think most people are going to realize, wait a minute, maybe we should all be carrying guns everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there are so many crazy people out there that are carrying guns, what the hell sense does it make to disarm everybody? It makes more sense to arm everybody.
Yeah.
Back to you.
That's how you know everything is criminal. That's how you know all the politicians are criminal.
There's
no other reason.
Okay. You can't blame the spoon for your fat ass. All right? Okay. All right, you can't blame the needle for your addiction to heroin. All right? No. Right. Not the way it works.
Exactly.
It's a joke. Blaming the gun and not the person pulling the trigger is ludicrous.
Exactly.
Ludicrous. A woman at a graduation party in Charleston, West Virginia, shot and killed an armed man who arrived at the party and began shooting at people. The angered man who arrived and began firing shots at dozens of people was swiftly neutralized by the woman, who police say was legally carrying her firearm. According to WCHS, I think that's just the local news company, whatever, the suspect in the case was 37-year-old Dennis Butler. He described as someone with a criminal history, and people reprimanded him for speeding in the Vista New apartment complex area while there was a party going on. So then Lieutenant Tony Hazel of Charleston Police Department said there was no other known motive besides that. So there was an argument that took place. He was speeding up and down the street during the party. People were at risk of getting hit. With what happened next, kids were present in the vicinity and was described as a party with 30 to 40 attendees. Butler left, came back roughly a half hour later with what authorities say was an AR-style rifle. Come on. It was an AR or it wasn't an AR. Shut the f*** up with the bullshit, man. Get to it. He opened fire at partygoers after grabbing the firearm from the back seat of his car. But an unnamed woman, why not give the name? Why not give the name? Why not? Come on. I'll tell you why not in just a second.
Buy her dinner.
Yeah. But an unnamed woman had a pistol on hand and fatally shot the suspect several times before anyone else was injured. Instead of running from the threat, she engaged with the threat and saved several lives last night, Hazel summarized. Police say the unnamed woman prevented what could have been a mass casualty incident. Brother's rap sheet showed he had a felony firearm charge and a misdemeanor handling stolen goods amongst his past 20 arrests. Witnesses of the shooting cooperated with the police as soon as they arrived. No charges are being filed, but the Kanawha County Prosecutor's Office is expected to review the case.
But she must obviously be an Uncle Teresa or Aunt Teresa, because a black woman armed legally? No. Yeah. She's no Democrat.
Oh, she's probably an off-duty cop.
Wait a minute. Do I understand this? No, this is a different video. Yeah, this is the I'll show you my screen here. This is the suspect right here. Here we go. Right there. Boom. Here's the suspect. That guy. Friendly fella, huh? Friendly guy right here. Oh, yeah. No issues.
So I don't know what's the big deal about the AR-15. It's just a rifle, for Christ's sake. I mean, I don't understand why people.
They don't want anybody to have any rifles.
Yeah.
They're just
what the Constitution says.
They want all the law abiders unarmed, so they'll just follow orders when cops show up to their house or when the UN shows up to their house to put them in quarantine camps, because that's the only way that's going to happen. Guarantee it. That's the only way that happens. You can't have. There's no other scenario where the UN or the WHO or any other bullshit out of this country organization starts going door to door demanding what? Your gun or some type of vaccine, or give us your kid, or we're here to kill your dog if he tests positive for monkeypox. Yeah, that's on the table. If you have.
They often ask the question, like, why does anybody need, you know, this kind of gun with so many rounds, high capacity magazines, these type of bullets, blah, 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 you know, and these are just meant for killing people and can, you know, go through bulletproof vests and whatever reason they have, or automatic weapons. And well, the reason that people should be able to have all of those is what they're trying to do right now is when they come to take them. When they come to bring tyranny, it's not for hunting. And you can say, well, you're just a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Wrong.
Call it whatever the hell you want to call it.
Right.
It's the end of the day. The tyranny is going to come, and there's going to be a day, and hopefully it wouldn't be in our lifetimes, but it looks like sure as hell is going to be, that we're going to have to stand there, and we better be effing armed to the teeth with whatever we have to fight whatever it is on a local level. And you know, I mean – yeah, sure. Oh, they got nukes. They got tanks, whatever. Well, you don't know what the future's going to
be. We'll be back at the top of the hour, everybody. Hang tight.
Anything's possible.
After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, all right, all right. Hour number two here on the High Council. This is your host, or MC the Mechanic. Hijacker, where are we at, man? I got a couple other things, but if you want to run some things, you can go ahead and take the mic for a minute. Just stand back here and let you guys run it. I'll jump in from time to time. What do you got, Jagger?
Well, the big thing, most important thing, is watching the money, watching the war machine, and watching this timeline. And it all, nothing's stopping. And with this latest comment by Jamie Dimon, basically saying, you know, I used to think it was gathering storm clouds, and now I think now it's going to be a hurricane, even a superstorm. That's not good. So I'm actually expecting the market to react. And if everybody cues off of him, that means you're going to see all these companies and corporation investment funds all start to gear back. So we could be in this recession, really, or this depression this summer. And now they're talking rolling blackouts and, of course, the scarcity and the food right there in California. Like a third of the rice is not even going to come to fruition. So just really, really a lot of rough water. And I thought I'd be off the air because I thought for sure that Russia was going to go general mobilization. But now Russia's winning this thing, and so is NATO going to jump in? That's the question. Everybody's trying to calculate. And then you got the big thing with Taiwan. I mean, it doesn't matter where you look. The world is so dark everywhere. Absolutely unbelievable. Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, he's been lighting off one missile after another. So, you know, did all these elite know something that we don't? Is it all just like going to go sideways quick? So
I don't think these elite, the homosexual criminal elite, all right, I don't think are fully in charge of everything that's going down. There are factions of both good and evil that are fighting this. And I think I think overall good's prevailing, or we would already be somewhere where we wouldn't even be able to have this conversation. The fact that we're still able to come on the radio and do this, yeah, I think we're headed to a time period that these things will be suspended for a period of time.
Yeah, and then even like cyber attack, they say we could
that's,
go.
That's, a week. That's an issue.
That's the only way they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to be able to suspend in America speech like that, and not without.
They riot. Can't get rid of the guns.
No, and the only way they're going to be able to. The only way they're going to be able to accomplish these things is through very drastic means, like war, criminal activities, terrorism, that kind of stuff. But if they do that, they may tip the scale. Like the point I was making with the guns, if you get too many mass shootings, everybody's going to want to run around packing, whether it's, you know, quote unquote legal or not. They're just going to get a gun and put it in, and they're going to walk around with, and everybody's going to be armed, and nobody's going to turn them in. So, you know, I don't think there's that many stupid people. I think that common sense will prevail. The same thing with, the internet and stuff. The only way they're going to be able to control that kind of thing, the decentralized nature of it, that's why the internet was created to survive, you know, a nuclear bomb and things like that, is to do drastic means. And whether they're going to be able to actually get away with that or not, time will tell. I just don't think they're going to be able to pull everything off. They're already failed. They've already failed with their world economic little treaty. They're trying to do this power grab. Like, everybody's so stupid, we're just going to like let a bunch of old guys sign a piece of paper in a foreign country, and then they say they're in charge because they care for our health. And people are that stupid? No, I don't even think they're going to be able to get this monkeypox vaccine out to the people, unless, you know, of course, the ones that get sick, which are the ones that have already taken it. But that'll just weed itself out. But the common sense will prevail in the end. The electricity will stay on, and maybe it'll go out in pockets for short periods of time. And I don't think we're going to see a global war. You know, they're going to try to keep the Ukraine thing going, but I don't think they're even able to do that because nobody wants to fight over there. The Ukrainian army is like, we don't want to fight anymore. And Biden and everybody said, well, let's send them more weapons. Send them this, send them that. Who are they fighting? Who are they going to get to fight? I mean, are they going to have to find somebody, you know, and fill the uniforms, I guess. So we'll see. Everything's a lie. Everything is just a big fraud everywhere you look. I just want to throw my hands in the air because you can't believe anything, especially on the mainstream media, whatever. I mean, believe half of what you hear or half of what you see, none of what you hear, and, you know, look at it twice with your own eyes. Back to you.
Yeah, and now it's not even believe what half of what you see, because we live in a digital world and computers. Now you can maybe believe, you know, 10% of what you see as far as the videos and all. But you're right, everybody's lying.
Especially offline, I think we were talking about Joe Biden is running around not even on Air Force One. I mean, that's an in-your-face lie, you know, and nobody cares. We're just all docile now.
No, I think what it is, I think everybody's waiting for the big shoe to drop. I think that's why everybody's so quiet. It's like the quiet before the storm. Mm. That's why you don't see nobody protesting, nobody doing it. Everybody knows the big stoppage is coming. And everybody's now just trying to get in a position to survive it. Or do what they're gonna try to do. So, I think that's really what's going on. But you're right.
Yeah. But I mean, the protesters, they ain't got enough money to put gas to go protest. that's number one right there. Shit. That's a damn shame. These gas prices, and then you're gonna give money to other countries. And weapons, and then you want to ban weapons down here in America. Man, this is a big toilet bowl that's clogged up, and the plunger is broken. That's all I can say. and it stinks.
Yeah,
and yeah, very good point. Go ahead, Checker.
Well, the other thing is that now that we know that it's like Fox was reporting, 60 magazines with 1,800 rounds. What was somebody planning to do? I mean, kill a couple hundred kids? And so now people are thinking, is that what they're trying to do to take the guns? They're going to start killing kids now? So that these people get even more dramatic. Well, I got a shotgun. I got an AR-15. What do I need? Do I need an Uzi? Do I need an automatic?
Yeah, and it's very suspicious that those local cops are like all of a sudden, oh, we're not going to say anything. We don't want to cooperate. And Biden's talking about burning the building now. He's like, oh, we're going to raise the school to the ground. You know, I mean, get rid of all the evidence and all the suspects. The police officers are the suspects in this case are now shutting up.
Yeah, they all lawyered up. You're right. Yeah. Even the guy that gave the order, who took his position as on the city town council or whatever.
And the reason they are suspects, because everybody's a suspect, right? You know, this is the kind of world we're in. So they're included in everybody, and everybody is a suspect. But more so, they acted awfully suspicious, being the guys that were on scene with the video of them laughing while they're around there, keeping everybody out, and then just a bunch of weird, you know, inconsistencies around the whole thing. I won't even go into it. Just, you know, people understand that this is, it stinks. It stinks. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I bet you they had a real good time pepper spraying parents worried about their children. That's to protect and to serve, right?
Damn, well, and again, it could be this whole thing is set up to try to turn people against the police, because nothing's going to convince me that 20 cops stood outside of school where they heard gunfire going off, where, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids were getting killed, and none of those cops going to go in. I just don't believe that. 80% of them would have gone in.
Do you think, Jacker, it's possible that a town could be infiltrated to the point by, let's say, intelligence operatives, special operators, to the point where they saturate an area and possibly even a police unit?
They did it in Newtown.
You remember Jesse Ventura and his, like, the CIA or whoever they were? They were the newspaper guy, the person from the supermarket, the bank teller, everybody, the taxi driver, the bus driver. So, and then you hear about, like, J. Charles Parker, who's on our network right after my show on Thursday nights. He talks about the dark occult families, you know, millions. They have entire cities where, you know, and the kids that have gone on record of saying, you know, not just in this country, but overseas too. Oh, they take us to McDonald's and then we go to the church and then, you know, we have sacrifices. I think that, yeah, I mean, all kinds of weird, crazy stuff. And it just came out, by the way, Utah is doing an investigation from, I think it was 1998 to 2009. There was all kinds of evidence, they say, enough to warrant heavy investigation into satanic ritual abuse and child trafficking. And they're saying, look, we're looking for clues. And if you know anything, please step forward now. We're launching this new investigation. This was like today. And so you never know how far this stuff could go. The Sandy Hook thing with the suspect, everybody's got new houses paid off. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot of weird shit that goes on around these anomalous shootings. You know, just strange things that don't seem to be connected, you know, just occur. I don't know.
Yeah, and then they got the magical money machine. They can just throw millions of dollars at anybody. I mean, $54 billion total.
Maybe the police department, maybe they're going to get brand new, like, armor-plated vehicles, new patrol cars. You know, raising their salaries for special pay that'll be included in their pension, you know, all that kind of stuff. Oh, you're going to get an extra $50,000 a year on your pension if you cooperate with us. That's for the rest of your life. And you'll be able to retire 10 years earlier if you'd like. Plus, you'll get a raise. Or you can not go along with the program, and we might have some problems that we'll have to deal with on the other end. What do you say? just sign this non-disclosure agreement right here. This is the National Security Act. Thank you very much. And, you know, go ahead and report for duty tomorrow as normal, and we'll take care of everything else.
Yeah, and what was that? What was that Beechcraft Super 10 Global Hawk reconnaissance military Fort Hood Army reconnaissance plane landing just before the shooting and then leaving right after it? I mean, did guys line up, sign the paper, and pick up the check? And the military showed them, look, this is a legitimate operation. Got nothing to worry about. We are the government.
Yeah, maybe the police were ordered to keep everybody out until the military gave them the all clear.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, just you don't go in until we're done.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, the credibility of the mainstream narrative of anything is gone. There is none. There, it's a zero. So we can only rely on, you know, just the pieces that we get and the information that we aggregate and put together. And a lot of times you get a lot of pieces that stink, really stink.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, supposedly this kid, you know, each one of these weapons, like, costs a couple of grand. That's four, plus body armor. You got to figure five, the ammo. That looks like it's another grand at six. And he never had a driver's license, and he worked at a Wendy's. Just like really weird. Grandmother had a $75,000 pickup truck. So, yeah, we don't know what. But the very fact that they tried the operation, and they did get 60 mags, tells me that somebody's getting desperate. Really, someplace else. And that would be the last thing they go for, right before we get the death wave, right before we get the, you know, the famine.
So wait, watch out for these. There's going to be, if they start what I think they're going to start waking up these people. And what I mean by waking up is they have sleepers, people that are ready to get up and do what they need to do, and their mind control, whatever you want to call it. And some of this is generational. There are families that they go through their entire lives hoping that they'll never be called to duty, or may not even know, some of them. But then there are others that are sleepers, and they wait for that phone call or that signal and then their instructions on what they're supposed to do. Oh, okay, here's my instructions. I'm just go blow something up, I guess, or whatever the hell it is, or go kill somebody or go perform a horrendous act somewhere. You know, and I think that just that for the simple fact that they have the resources to actually saturate towns, and they have these groups of people that are involved on every level, the dark occult families, generational, you know, for the simplistic term, you could say the Satanists. There's millions of them out there, millions. So they're everywhere. And
Rush Dizdar,
the dark awakening. Go ahead.
That's right. That's what Rush Dizdar talked about. He talked about the dark awakening. I don't know if he used those exact words, but he says all at once, you know, they're all going to go, and there'll be like brand new police forces that'll be formed overnight, where they'll be basically saying we're the new police. So whether it will go like that or not, I don't know. But I mean, we've never seen, we're literally in uncharted territory. We've had more anomalies that's happened that's never happened in the whole world before. It's not like saying, oh, yeah, oh, about every 50 years, of course, the whole world goes into a lockdown quarantine all at once over a super flu. Sure, 188 nations all at once take a knee. Right, right. So we just had so many really weird anomalies. And then
yeah,
also,
now you talk about a demonstration of power. That was somebody's demonstration of power, hijacker.
That was.
Everybody take a knee like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no question about it. That was at the highest level. And they all seemed to do it. Even the ones that knew it was all BS, they still went along with it. So what could do that? That's
and the question is now, did they go along with it out of like greed and thinking they're going to be part of the power structure, or was it fear, or a little bit of both? I don't know.
Both. Both. I better go along with it, or bad things are going to happen to me. And then a couple of guys that did buck up, just with the COVID thing and the vaccine, those four or five African presidents, they all got whacked one right after another.
Yeah,
unbelievable. They even went in. I think I tried to get the guy in Haiti. Was it Haiti? But he was able to tell.
Yeah, when they had that little recon team.
Right. Mm-hmm. That gun battles right inside the palace grounds. Now, I think he survived his. I think he survived, and he caught a bunch of, it was a lot of old ex-military white guys that they got, a whole cell. I never heard what happened to them after that. I saw them lined up. They were filmed. They were pretty glum. They said, oh, no, we messed up. So, it's just getting really crazy. And then every week, you got the Russians saying, you know, we're going to smack the shit out of you. We're going to hit you hard. Now you got Lavrov saying, look, the war's expanding to third parties. And so what's he talking about? Well, he wants to find out where these weapon systems are coming from and then hit at the source of the weapon system instead of waiting for it to be smuggled into Ukraine. Well, now you're talking about Russian special forces blowing up trains, what, in Europe? Or, you know, weapons factories in the United States? And then we got to look back and we got to wonder, what, 30-some processing centers of food and eggs and chicken and everything else being burnt? Is there a group operating? Like the latest one was that family farm in Minnesota. They produced commercially 3 million eggs a day. And yet that whole barn, one of their whole barns, I don't know if you saw it, it was like something else in the middle of the night. Just whoom, burnt the whole damn thing down. Unbelievable. And literally, I mean, like half the town folk had jobs at that place, you know? So it's just getting crazier and crazier and crazier.
Well, that's an opportunity for you, Jacko. You don't think you can get your chicken farm up and running and pick up the slack?
Nah, I'd listen. The eggs that I produce, they're just for family. I mean, I do a couple dozen a day. So, and I got enough people, you know, I can just basically give them away, or family members, you know. I got a big family, and then it's extended. People married and stuff, so. And then you can take a chicken egg and you can actually put it in hydro lime. There's a way you just mix this sort of, it's a lime, hydro something. I can't think of what the name is. You can look it up online. And you mix about an ounce of it with about a quart of water and you fill up a bucket. And then you can just take eggs and set them in there. And a year later, you can go reach in the bucket and then you can still eat them.
Mm.
So there's a way of preserving, you know, fresh eggs like that.
Or pickle them. Pickle eggs is good too.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you want a normal, like, fried egg, you can do it.
Do weird things like that Russian guy. On YouTube, did you ever see what he did? And he made a homunculus.
What was that?
This Russian guy documented himself on video with experimenting with chicken eggs, and they were live chicken eggs. And he would like inject sperm I don't know whose, if it was his or whatever sperm, different into the egg, and different things would appear. I mean, it would like things would hatch, and I think it was human sperm. And he was saying that no, it's science is different than what you've been told, that you can actually, you know, create a hybrid homoculus with a chicken egg and human sperm. And then this thing came out, and it had one, it had an eye. One of them, it like spit something at it, so he crushed it with a shoe, and it was like all splattered, all this blood and stuff. These things, it moved around. You never saw that? Anyway, tell you, Lamb, life is stranger than fiction.
Oh no, they can cut all those genetics. They got that down. A lot of the stuff in the deep underground military bases. In fact, the Bible even talks about it, that there's these scorpion like. They actually got tails, but the hair of women, the face of men, the teeth of lion, they actually got wings, and they got the feet like a bear and the tail like a scorpion. And they can climb over walls and stuff. And they're released right in the last days for everybody that doesn't have the mark of the Spirit of God on their forehead. They go after. But then they're not allowed to kill. So there's something, I don't know if they got a syringe within their tail or what, but if they sting you, you basically are paralyzed for 5 months.
It sounds like a manticore.
Yeah, but you're only not even able to die. But men wish they could take their lives, and they can't for whatever reason. Maybe because they're paralyzed. Who knows? But yeah, no. Zen Garcia, he goes into, you know, cutting all the genes. Personally, that's what I think the Dog Man and Bigfoot is about. I think one of the Nephilim, you know, of course they're 12 to 15 foot. I think they mated with the great ape, and they found a beast that would, you know, keep the men creatures working in the cities, scared to go out in the woods, because you had these what they would call Bigfoot out there. And
yeah,
I know the Indians, a lot of the Indians didn't like them.
There's also these things that live in the caves, and they do come out at night. I think they call them like crawlers or something like that. And they're humanoid creatures. A few pictures have been taken on the internet. One of them was like, I guess, eating some like squirrel or insects or digging for something at one point. And they, some kids or something, walked up on it, and it turns at the camera, and it's like this ghoul-looking thing. And everybody at the same time got scared and ran off in all directions, including the ghoul. And another one was caught inside a cave. There's actually a few that have been caught in caves, but there are several of these creatures that you know, they're unofficial, but they've been documented unofficially, and they're just not recognized, you know, by mainstream science.
Oh, I've seen hundreds of hours of footage of people catching grays.
Though, and also something called a hide behind. They're in the forest, and they're like, they call them hide behinds because they hide behind trees. But they're creepy, and a few times they've been spotted. And some of these things hunt men. People disappear in the woods, and a lot of times it's because they've gotten hunted. And that's it, you know. Men are prey.
Well, there was a story of the guy used his real name. He retired to Florida, and he wrote about it. And he had a dog, and he was a Canadian Mountie. Did you hear this one where they ran across a whole group of them that they'd been hunting?
And, no.
Oh, yeah, he got a call. He's a Mountie in Canada, British Columbia. He got a call that a naked child was running in a field, and he showed up to where they said it was at. He looked, he didn't see anything that day, And so there's nothing he could do. Nobody stuck around. But then the next day he gets a call by a woman. And she goes, there's a naked boy, looks like a young boy. He's way out in this field. And he's running around. He's naked. And the cop says, well, stay there. So the cop shows up and sees it. And he's got a hunting dog. I forgot what he called. Jacko or something. I don't know what his dog was. But he had, you know, he's Canadian Mountie. He had a dog. Anyways, he decided to go ahead and investigate. And he took the dog to track it. And he remembers when he was tracking it, he realized that whatever this kid was really smart, because it was doubling back and really trying to stay hid. And the only way the guy could keep up with it is that he actually did have the dog. So he finally came up over a ridge, and there was a big, like, open field. And then across the field, like 500-600 yards, he actually sees two other children, two women that were naked, and a Bigfoot. And he's watching with the binocs, and he realizes that it's like an encampment. And then he sees these other Bigfoot coming back, and he goes, he immediately sees a couple of Bigfoot immediately take the women and just brutally rape them. I mean, they just went nuts on them, banged them really quick, really violent. And he's looking through the binoculars. Then he sees even more, and he counts a total of 11. Nine are about 7-8 feet, but two of them are, like, he says, at least 11 foot or maybe even 12. It's two big ones and then smaller, and what all appear to be male Bigfoots. And so he says, well, there's nothing I can do here. It's not like, I mean, the whole tribe of this, he's just like, he can't believe what he's seeing. So he goes back to his car, and he goes back and forth on whether he should call his supervisor. Anyways, he goes home, because if you're a Canadian Mountie in British Columbia, it's not like you go back to the precinct. It's like, you know, you live kind of like way out there. So he starts thinking about it. Right around dinner, and he goes, you know, I got to say something. He's thinking about his pension. Everybody's going to think he's crazy. And so he calls his supervisor, and he goes, now, look, what I'm going to tell you, you know, this is crazy, and you got to promise you're not going to take any action or whatever. And the supervisor says, no, what'd you see? You know, what happened on that particular call that you got? We heard you got it. You just never responded back. And then he told him what he saw. And the supervisor says, don't say anything. You'll be getting a call soon. Just stay where you're at. Go to bed. Don't call anybody. And I'll be getting a hold of you. 5 o'clock the next morning, he gets a call, or maybe it was a little earlier than that, from his supervisor. He says, you know where you met, where you saw, you said you saw these people when you tracked them? Yeah, do you know the logging road, you know, such and such? He goes, yeah, meet us there, you know, logging road, highway marker, whatever, in the middle of nowhere, but not very far. This guy shows up, this Canadian Mountie shows up. He says it was something like out of Close Encounter of the Third Kind. They had tents set up. They had 40 SUVs. They had trailers. They had satellites, big old satellite trackers. They had tents set up. They had military guys. They had guys from the United States, Canadian Special Forces. They had scientists there. And he says, wow, what is all this? And then he got deep. Then he debriefed everybody exactly what he saw. All these 70 or 80 guys or whatever in this tent. And he just went up, said exactly what he saw, and told him. Anyways, they already had choppers up. They already knew where the encampment was, and they were way back using drones or whatever. And they had video hookup, and where these teams actually went out, red team, blue team, white team, whatever. and they where they all moved, and they had trackers on them. These are hunter kill teams of, you know, 6 to 10 guys, snipers and stuff like that. And they all had like button cams, helmet cams, and he actually stayed back and he actually saw the operation. And so as they were moving in, they noticed that one of the big ones, before, you know, as they're starting to move in and they're get within a mile or so, triangulating all these this encampment, one of them, one of the drone spots, leaves and goes about 5 miles, and stops at this farm, where there's a woman there. There's two kids out on her little playset. You know, this is Canada. This is farmland, wilderness type thing, British Columbia. Anyways, they realize that the thing is just watching and it's stalking with this drone. They can actually see it. They see the children. Anyways, they use all their technology. They find out what the phone number is. They call the woman. They go, you know, if you got children or whatever, you need to bring them inside. There's been a grizzly bear sighting and we don't want to make sure nobody gets any hurt. So you need to go in. Once we realize that where the grizzly bear is at, then we'll call you back and let you know it's all clear. The woman goes inside. Anyways, the Bigfoot, the big one, he watches for another 45 minutes, an hour, before he leaves, and he starts to go back. But at about that time, the teams are moving in, and then, they start to get the authorization to go ahead and move in. And the Bigfoot start to scatter. They realize that they're being tracked, and they start taking them out. In other words, killing them one at a time. Just as they kind of wrap it up, and they get the women, the two naked women, and the three children, one which was a wild child they couldn't contain. They actually had to put them in a cage. Anyways, then the big one comes back. He realized something's wrong, and I think they used a chopper to kill him and take him out. Anyways, the trailers come back. This Canadian Mountie, he's still there. He says they bring the trailer in loaded. He goes, the stench when they opened the door that came out of the Bigfoot was unbelievable. He remembers that the scientist guys were upset that they killed them all. There was argument between the military guys and the scientists. You couldn't have left one alive, Frank. You had to kill them all. I mean, it's just like the scientists were upset because they didn't have any toys to put in the cage and play with because these guys were so damn thorough. They did take the wild child, and took him. They did take custody of him, and then. The whole thing was broke up. And then the one thing the guy did, because he carried around in his vest pocket for like the last 15 years, it was the one missing person that he never got. And he felt really bad about. And it was a 5-year-old girl. Anyways, they did the DNA testing. His supervisor calls him 2 weeks later. And he says, you're not going to believe this. He says, you know that girl that went missing 15 years ago? And the Canadian Mountie says, the one I carry in my breast pocket, the little girl, right? He says, that's the same girl. The DNA is the same. You know, the one that could only like grunt. And he goes, really, it was that particular one. He tried to track her down. They were all disappeared. And then like 2 years later, In fact, he tried to call the supervisor after that. His supervisor would never talk to him again. 2 years later, he retires and goes to Florida. And he does this YouTube clip that somebody picked up. Very authentic. You listen to him. You listen to the whole story. There was too much detail. It was too good. And then he ends his story. He says, well, I'm going to say something really controversial, but this is just what I believe. Being a Canadian Mountie, knowing how many people have gone disappeared, knowing what I know, he goes, I think every Bigfoot ought to be fucking killed. Exterminate them all. Kill every single one of them.
Wow. There was a guy, I saw this the other day. It's a famous photo. In 1988, he went to Egypt. And in a town between Alexandria and Cairo, he met this family of grave robbers. It was multi-generational grave robbers. And they, of course, had a lot of, you know, things that they had gotten digging around in the sands and there near the pyramids and the desert. And their prized possession that the family allowed this individual to take photographs of, handle, and look at for like $300. Their prized possession was like a foot and a half long finger, mummified finger with the fingernail. And there's pictures of it on the internet. You can actually see it. And he's got like money next to it to show, like, you know, for size, like imagine a dollar bill. And then this thing's like twice as big as this, as a dollar or whatever. And basically they said that, you know, if it is real, that the hand and the human or whatever it was that was attached to it would have to be like around 20 feet tall, you know, that and so the guy that took pictures of it kind of regretted that he didn't do more. And so he went back in like 2009, I think, and he couldn't find, you know, any remnants of the family or anything there. But, you know, and then he sort of put that information out there and kind of faded off into obscurity. But yeah, that just reminds me of that. You know?
And then the other thing about this particular story, this guy says that all of these people were already assembled. These was a team, and they were so happy that the guy did not spook them, because this whole big, you know, team that was put together of these people, they had been tracking, and they knew that this was a rogue Bigfoot party that basically migrated from like Phoenix, Arizona, to up in British Columbia, and then even went further up.
So like traveled through the mountains, a rogue tribe.
Yeah, they would move. It was a rotating moving, and they knew it was there, but they just couldn't ever seem to be able to track it down.
Was it all males?
It was all males. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
9 small ones and 2 big ones. All males, and it looks like they got together and they just realized
it was a Bigfoot gang.
Yeah. Yeah. They all decided to do evil. Big wifey. They went for the white chicks.
I'm gonna take human human women. Take their women. Oh my
and
goodness.
They had children by them because one of the children was like a hybrid. He was
there,
like,
you know, they're in also in China and in India. There were reports of these hybrid people that were something like, they said half Yeti, of course, over there it'd be Yeti or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I guess this other non-human, but, you know, like Neanderthals are supposedly also interchangeable, or, you know, you can, if they have sex, they can, you know, they can have a baby, just like a lion and a tiger. It's unlikely that it would happen, but if it did happen, it's a viable offspring can occur.
Yeah. Well, just people look up the Canadian Mountie, gives his Bigfoot story, something like that. His dog, I think his name was Jacko. And the only reason I remember that, because I kind of got the name Jacker. So when it was Jacko, and you can look it up and you can hear it for yourself. And
I vaguely recall something. I think a Matt Painter played. I think I do remember he played something about like that one time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a YouTube thing, and the guy tells it the story. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he says the teams that were there, they were like congratulating him, and they were just so happy that they didn't spook him, because they were really, they've been trying to get him for like the last 18 months or something like that. And, they could just move at such great distance. I don't know if they just picked the women up or the women had a ride on their backs or whatever, but I mean, they could move like,
you know, just, can you imagine getting kidnapped and raped by a Bigfoot and then having its child? Holy moly.
Well, actually, you know, there was only two of the women. They were being gang raped.
Oh my God.
Man, every day.
Oh, that's horrible, man. I mean, that's just,
Wow.
That is just all. I mean, it's just that's terrifying.
Well, the one thing the guy said is that as violent and as vicious it was, he could remember the only thing that was some relief to him is that, like, you know, the Bigfoots, they did their business quick. Like, you know, within a couple minutes, everything was over. I mean, they were like the ultimate Minuteman type deal. You know what I mean? And so that's the only thing he remembers is God. At least it didn't go on for like, you know, 45 minutes. Jeez. So
what a horrible thing. Those poor women. I mean, so they were put under witness protection and it disappeared. Is that what happened?
Yeah. He couldn't find them. He thought they knew where they went. He knew they got the DNA from them. And he thought he knew this area where they took them to this facility, sort of a camp home or something. But that was it.
Probably took them to the island, you know, like the Punisher, like the prisoner, the island. You know, they take all these. No, you'll have a good life there. Everything's nice. You have the best of everything, but you just can't leave the island. You understand, right? Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. And then who knows what they did with the wild kid.
Well, the wild kid will go to the island too. We'll try to train her as best we can. And at least she'll have the run of the island and she won't be able to.
One was a boy. It was a wild boy.
Oh, okay. The boy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, he'll go to the island too and we'll work with him and maybe he'll be an asset. Maybe not, but you know, he'll be promised a good life at the very least on the island. Just like you guys. Everything will be taken care of. In fact, you'll probably have a better life than all the schmugs out there in, you know, normal world land. I mean, you don't want to live in the European Union or America. We're going to have a war soon. So enjoy your life on the island with all the best of everything. We have fresh fruit and no war. And everything's free.
Yeah, and who really knows? You take a look at that, you know, why is it that the Pacific is just so vast? And, you know, there's like only a few islands out there, the Solomon Islands. And
yeah, there's islands. There's old maps that show islands out there that are not on the new maps now. There's a whole thing about that. Like, there's like several islands. A few up near Alaska, and then there's several in the South Pacific that were on maps like in the 1960s. And they're not on the maps now. In the 70s, they were on the map, some of them. And they're just islands that are being erased. And these are big. Some of them are big, good-sized islands. You know, they're not like, so what are they doing with those islands?
Well, plus, like a Hawaiian-size type
deal.
Huh?
Yeah. Plus, there's new islands that have been artificially created as well. Not only the ones that we know about from the Chinese, but, you know, other projects that are going on as well.
Yeah, and they got also the shipping routes. A lot of people think that, you know, there's no highways out in the ocean. But if you're a container ship or a commercial shipper, you got to stick to a certain pattern. You just can't be floating out there any way you want to go. Even the commercial fishermen, they've got certain, you know, it's like a pilot that does a flight. You know, you got to record your flight with the FAA or whatever.
And they also have to steer clear of that floating pile of garbage that's the size of Texas. Literally the size of Texas. Can you fathom how big that is? Is floating around out in the Pacific Ocean, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Yeah, there's a lot of microplastics. It's like a cloud.
Yeah, this mass of just stuff that's just out there, just floating along.
And where, you know where most of that comes from, don't you? Asia.
Asia, yeah. Yeah, I saw a picture of a river in, I think it was the Philippines or Vietnam, somewhere out there.
Right.
And you couldn't see the water. All you could see was just the trash. And it was on liquid, but you couldn't see the water at all. It was just a surreal kind of thing. And I thought to myself, man, I mean, don't you take any pride? I mean, just come on. I mean, don't even attempt the government of the countries. They don't even attempt to try to clean it up or do anything. I mean, it's just, wow, that's kind of evil in and of itself to just to do that, defile nature like that.
Yeah, openly pollute the land. It's yeah, you do feel like, you know, throwing a plastic bag down on a hike.
I don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you do feel guilty about that. Look, you know, it's just like,
I've always been one, if I'm hiking in the mountains and it's pristine and I'm walking along a trail or something and I see a piece of trash, I actually will pick it up. If it's not like, you know, something that's going to hurt me or something, but like if it's like if I'm looking down and it's, you know, some plastic or whatever that just doesn't belong there, I'll take it on out, you know, just I don't know why, I just have to do that. But
yeah. I don't litter at all. In fact, the only thing that I litter, and with that you know, it's almost ritualistic when I do it, is when I used to go to fast food, and you got a ketchup pack for fries or mustard for a hamburger or whatever. When I would open up the little packets, the little tip end, I would always throw outside the window, like in the parking lot, whatever. And then when I was done with the packet, if there was a bag, maybe I'd put the packet in the bag, but because of the nature of it, it, you know, could rot, squirt out, and get over everything, I would throw that out the window. So that's the only thing that I've ever littered with the little fast food packets of mustard and, you know, ketchup, that type of thing. But, and don't feel guilty about it at all.
Yeah, I have, when I was smoking, I've done a few cigarette butts. So I'm guilty of that. But usually they're in rural areas, not in rural areas, they're in, you know, like in town or something. Metropolitan areas, like in the city. Driving through San Francisco and flick a cigarette butt, but I don't smoke anymore, so.
Well, so we're kind of waiting for the big event to show up here next couple of months. It does look like it's fast-tracked. Oh, the prices are going up. In your neck of the woods, Mr. Rowe, downtown L.A., well, it's pretty far from where you're at, but it's California, finally hit $8 a gallon.
Yeah.
It's a gas station in the middle of L.A., and the only reason people get gas is they get trapped on the freeway, and they think they're starting to run out of gas, and they got to get off the freeway in order to get the gas so they don't run out in a traffic jam. And this guy, he's got the highest gas prices in the country. He's like a spider in a web. Yeah, you sit out on that highway long enough and it gets close enough to E, you'll come begging to me. You'll come begging.
You'll pay. You'll pay.
That's right.
Jeez.
Capital. I will make profit if it kills you.
Hey, well, that's the intent. It's a double whammy for them, right? For the homosexual criminal elite, right?
You mean they're not homosexual, they're pedophilic.
Pedophilic
criminal elite.
Okay. I see criminality in the actions of a guy like Schwab and Trudeau and who's this other guy? Oh yeah.
Harari Noah.
Right? Right? What's the guy's name? Yuval Noah Harari. Yeah, that guy. That guy.
Hackable human.
Yeah, hackable humans. The days of free will are gone.
That's
yeah,
over.
I have no regard for these imbeciles.
We are going to become like gods. That's over. We will know everything about you, and your compliance will be lovely.
Yeah. Oh, you got another thing coming, man.
My husband. He talks about his husband.
He does all the time, actually. Yeah, he does. Does.
Wow. Well,
very interesting circumstances we find ourselves in, gentlemen. I want to thank you for joining me on this high council. where are we headed next? Somebody going to pick it up? Are we going to call it a night? Are we going to leave it up to a little surprise? Top of the hour.
I'm kind of talked out.
I am.
Mr. Rowe finished me off.
No dissertation on the great and mighty king of Mother Russia? God, man. We need a dissertation.
No, he's just taking his time. He's rolling through.
He's in no hurry. He's got a mission. He's going to accomplish it. He's more than halfway there, and that's how it's going to go down, and the world will do nothing but watch.
Slava Novorossiya.
The man's got it under control.
That's what it's looking like. Yeah. They're cannibalizing the Ukraine.
You're going to see a new country called Novorossiya, and it's going to be from Kharkov to Odessa, and it's going to be part of the Russian Federation, probably. They're probably going to have, like, you know, at least an alliance, and I believe that Novorossiya will also include the People's Republic of Donetsk and the People's Republic of Lugansk.
Well, the providence, the geographical providence right above Crimea, the Russians just freed up all of that.
I think that's what, Zaporozhye, I believe.
Yeah, something. And they've already said, we're taking a vote to join under the UN, basically law of self-determination.
Yeah.
We're going to vote to be part of the Russian Federation.
Yeah. They've already said that. It's already happening. Yeah, the people in the local area have already made that decision. The locals know what they want. Now it's just a matter of the rest of the world recognizing that. Russia's recognizing it. Ukraine will recognize it when Russia's finished. And then, you know, the EU will probably follow suit, and everybody, and you'll have this new country born, and that'll be that. And but unless the United States has anything to say about it, and then we'll have total global thermal nuclear war. But I just don't see Biden getting his way and Obama down the basement getting their way.
Nah.
I think something hit them off the pass. People are onto their game, too. Their New World Order thing is failing. People are, anyway.
We're waking up. Go ahead, Jagger.
We got the big bump in the road, the X factor. We don't know what the Most High is going to do.
I tell you what. I think sometime in October they're going to try to shut down this country, and they're going to say that it's not safe to have polling stations, and we have to go and mail in our ballots.
I mean, he can hit us with an earthquake,
EMP.
He could do something maybe off the sun, maybe an asteroid. But whatever these people's plans are.
All right, everybody, that's it. Yep. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget to get a grip.
Natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
We're not
anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, Deacon John, I'm still here. I'm up. I'm doing some paperwork here, and I've got two feathers, and I've got Sergeant Miller. Go ahead, fellas, take it. Whatever you want to talk about, man.
I guess we're back on, huh?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just got back. I was on the phone with my wife and just seeing what was up. What's on everybody's mind?
Well, I just wanted to bring out I had went and checked in on one of those gatekeepers program, and you know, I was kind of curious about what they were speaking about, because we've heard lately that there's been attack on the grain manufacturing plant. And so I was just kind of curious, like, you know, someone that came on, a female that came on and asked a question, could they be hoarding some of that stuff? You know, hoarding like a bunch of the food and then just blowing up the rest, burning the rest, was a good point. What do you all think about, like, what they're doing on the attack of the food? Like, do you find it a coincidence that they're attacking? All of a sudden now, you know, there's an attack on food. I mean, what is going on here?
Well, you got a government that's declared war on the people. That's it. Right. And the people don't realize it.
And they can't wait to the next football kickoff, right? You see? That's what I try to state here on the show. That behind closed door. Go ahead, Deacon. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what they're doing is probably taking it underground and also giving some of it over to certain areas in Europe. You know what I'm saying? Could be. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. In your opinion, what's the purpose of going to give it over there in Europe? Like, you mean because of the influx of the people, immigrants coming into different...
Maybe they're trying to stabilize things in Europe so they don't have food riots. I don't know. But people over here just, I mean, what's gas over here in Ohio? And Ohio is probably cheap compared to most places in the country. It was $4.80 today, almost $5 a gallon. Diesel was a dollar more. So that and this thing about the baby formula and the shootings and stuff. I mean, what do people, how much more are they going to put up with? I don't get it, man. I don't know. I guess they're just going to take it all the way, huh?
Well, the thing is with me is, and Sergeant Miller, you're welcome to comment on it. The thing is with me, okay, if you want to send food to the European countries because of the over influx of you know, individuals coming from that Ukraine war type thing, you know, I could see sending the food over there. I don't have no problem with that, okay? I don't have no problem with sending the food. But, you know, if this is the type of leadership that we have here in this country, you know, that they need to find these individuals, whether they're paying them off, you know, Deacon, they finding some individuals. I'll pay you $1,000, $10,000 to go over here and just blow up this grain manufacturing plant. You know, what? I mean, there's no one investigating any of this stuff. Where's the fire chief marshals? And, you know, why they're not coming to the limelight and presenting, you know, their findings of investigation upon these food plants? I mean, no one is raising any kind of concern, you know? But
yeah, I guess, I don't know. I guess they got it all locked down and controlled, huh? They have it from top down. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, that's
King Alpha's plan. King Alpha's plan. I mean, yeah, you could do research on it, but it's just a military governmental program for total control.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead,
Dick. Look, I'm going to say this. This whole system is rotten and corrupted. Okay, they'll let. Well, I don't want. I could keep my mouth shut and get myself in trouble. They'll let two men get married and have trans and all this other bullshit. But if you want to stand up for your rights in court, no. This is bad. In my opinion, right now we got here. I don't know. Go ahead.
The same sex marriage thing doesn't bother me. You know, I don't give, you know, two bits about that. Yeah, they shouldn't be pushing it in public. If you want to do that behind closed doors, that's your prerogative. But the thing is, Deacon, when it comes to these issues like, you know, blowing up manufacturing plants, we got to import baby formula from Germany. I mean, these type of things shows the leadership. And then we talk about the expansionism that, you know, I came and spoke about. You know, that the American and the West, European countries and NATO and all of them want to do over there on the other side, you know, of the world, and that junk that's going on with Ukraine, you know, and we know that the United States is involved in a lot of this, and we don't know how much collaboration that they work with China. You know, and then you got the Chinese government, you know, continuing with the goings on. Now they done included, we found out that they included an 8th country that they're propping up their infrastructure, okay, which was Venezuela. Now, America tries to, and also what I've read, that America is having issues with Putin, trying to threaten Putin because he wants to, you know, if he wants to set up camp in Cuba and Venezuela, which is, you know, on the border of freaking America, but yet they want to freaking bring in Finland and Sweden and say bring them into NATO, which we find out as well that they harbor freaking terrorists in their freaking their parliaments, right? So, which is on the border of freaking Russia. So you got the pot calling the kettle black, you know? In America, we see how America, we got a sitting president who is, you know, pro-China, you know? And then they tried to come calling themselves pulling a, what's his name, with 1984? You know, wrote the book, 1984?
George Orwell.
George Orwell reverse speech. That's what America uses on its American people to make them believe that they're pro-American, and then the whole time they're pro-China. You see the way that they do that? So you remember back in the old days that grandma and mama used to talk about speaking out of both sides of your head? But that's what they meant by that. Because you got the American political leaders, or if you want to call them, or these policymakers, you know, they're sitting here doing what they're doing and mind raping the American people. And the whole time that they're not even, you know, they're not even pro-American. So, and then you got now, I just heard yesterday that this is supposed to be the month of angry mothers. But why all of a sudden now the mothers are getting angry? Maybe because they woke up to the realization that they've been breastfeeding, they're having to breastfeed their babies now because they received two shots and two boosters, you know, and now they, you know, they don't have any baby formula on the shelves. And then America's going to mind rape the people again and believe in we got some baby formula coming, but it's not made from here in America. Oh, we can give you Bill Gates GMO breast formula, if that's what you'd like. Mm-hmm. You see? Huh? Am I making sense to you? What Tupac said? Am I clear to you? Mm. Can you see me?
The fact that Bill Gates can walk around this planet freely, it shows you that corruption has taken over. I mean, he's the typical villain in every hero movie.
Yeah.
He fits every, you know, Lex Luthor, the Joker, on and on and on. He fits the typical villain.
Well,
and a lot of people don't. I'd say about 60% of the Americans don't know what he's capable of. They think he's the Microsoft philanthropist.
Right.
When he clearly says population control in damn near every interview he does. You know, if these vaccines are successful, we can decrease the population. That's not a positive statement. You know, decrease and population, that's someone has to die. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, if we do this just right.
If we do this just right.
Oh, so he's basically telling us that, you know, if we create this jab, and we do this thing just right, we should be able to decrease those numbers by 10 to 15%. So basically, he's getting away with telling us, that we can be murdered by these people and there's nothing that we can do about it. That's basically what he's saying.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, if
just
I
take,
had
just to take your lollipop, just take your lollipop and go sit in the corner.
Yeah. And if I had to state it as well as he could say that it's okay for him to stand on the podium and say that he has the right to take us out, then we should go after his house first. You know, if there's some kind of like altercation with the public where there's a, you know, a frenzy or uproar, then they should go to Bill Gates' house first. You know, because
there you go. There you go.
Yeah, so we have the same right to say it as well as he has to say it. What, you gonna come convict us and tell us, you know, this is some kind of hate threat or whatever? No. FBI, this ain't no hate threat. They have the right to say it against us. You know, you need to get your freaking mind straight, man. These people are freaking, I don't know what kind of penis they have in their freaking ear, but they must pull it out when put it in when Bill Gates speaks, but pull it out when we speak. You know? And that's Bill Gates' penis at that.
Huh.
You know? I mean, when did, just like Duke guy said on y'all show, Deacon, yesterday, you know, who is Klaus Schwab and these people, you know, to be able to say that these few people have a right to say, we're going to go around your world and we're going to control your world of what we say. I heard Duke guy say that yesterday, I think, on y'all show.
Well, you know what I mean? I think that they're very arrogant because they've got technology, AI on their side, and they've got control of all the governments and stuff. So they're just being arrogant because they think they can get away with it. But I don't see how they're going to get away with it in the end. Just like taking the guns away, disarming this country. I don't think they can. How would they do something like that? I don't think they can.
Yeah,
you know,
it won't work. It's too many guns already out in the public. You know what I'm saying? It's too many. That's what I don't understand. I'm like, do you realize that this youth, you know, the youngsters these days, they're averaging at least two guns. 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18, and et cetera. These people got guns. And they're not legal, but where they got them from?
No, but they want us to give up our guns, but they'll exactly. Go ahead and give the illegals guns. They'll actually get caches of weapons and give it to them. So, what does that tell you? You know?
Yeah, all them rail cars from the railroad just sitting there in Chicago. You know, shitloads of ammunition and guns,
mm-hmm.
just sitting down there, just willy nilly on the train tracks. And you put that in the ghetto, guess what? Yes, they're going to grab them because that's a resource.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it just like that's what it is, man. You cannot because, you know, the one thing that just like Hijacker said a while ago, you know, telling these officers, you know, you're going to get your pension, you're going to get this X amount of raise. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. People have left money. And, you know, if you want to ask anybody that about money, you know, you can ask a poor person. And they'll tell you about how bad they need the money or would like to have the money to be able to do the right things in life. But when it comes down to giving up your very soul for these freaking people and what we're supposed to be run tuck tail, because these individuals want to keep doing what they're doing up on this planet, and that's harming people, and we want to keep hush-hush, that's the problem. You see? At some point, we got the cure of the problem. Go ahead.
They're counting on people just go thinking they can change things by going and vote. And Republicans and Democrats and midterm elections, as long as people think that that's the way the country is run and that's how we change things, they're going to cheat us. And so they're perfectly happy to keep their mouth shut and stay out of view as long as Fox News is, you know, has the Republicans on and the Democrats on MSNBC, whatever. That false dichotomy there is, as long as people follow that and they're asleep and they don't, and they think that that's what's going to change if they vote. And Joe Biden really got elected because everybody hates Donald Trump. As long as they believe that stuff, the elites are happy because everybody's asleep. And that system is thoroughly corrupt and controlled by them. That's what they want. They want to keep that illusion of that system there for people so they'll stay asleep. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they shut the YouTube channels down, and they shut us down, and they call us names and all this, and you're a terrorist, domestic terrorist, and all this other nonsense, because that challenges their bullshit illusion power structure and their voting and people being asleep. That as long as it is the way it is now, and people watch Fox News and MSNBC and the midterm elections and all this, that, as long as that's what they believe, that's a problem. It's good for them, bad for us. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Yeah, it keeps people at bay. It keeps them docile, and it keeps them operating in the matrix.
Mm. Exactly.
You know,
and that's what they want. That's what they want. Yep.
Yeah, but it's the pure definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. That's federal elections to me. You know, local levels, you can make a difference. But when you get into, like, state, your governor, and federal elections, it's all about the money and the resources and the lobbyists.
Well, and two, it's like if I had to put it in layman's terms, it's like you go to the doctor, all right? You got these aches, okay? You got this ache in your knees, okay? I seen a guy on an infomercial, and he put it down is where I actually get it from. You know, he put it down pretty elementary to where you get the knowledge of what he was saying. And what he was stating was, like, exactly what I'm stating. Like, if you have, like, this pains in your knees, right? And you go to the doctor and he gives you some Lartab 10s or some Vicodin, Percocet or something like that, right, for pain. Of course, it's going to help the pain, but it's not going to cure the symptom. You see? And this old lady one time shoved these, some sort of, I don't know if it's like a vitamin or something in his hand. She says, trust me, son. It was an older lady. She said, take this. Let me know how you feel within 2 weeks. He said, the man said he never felt another pain in his freaking whole body. Something to the effect. You know? It's just like, it wasn't a pain pill. It was like a natural substance of some sort. And it like worked with his body. You see? Instead of just covering up the pain, which a pain medication does, right? It was actually curing the symptom of what, and that's the thing that we have in America, is we have a sickness, a symptom that is not being cured, but everybody can't wait to get to the football stadium. You see? And that's the problem. But if you imagine if that many people woke up to what the realization of what we speak here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, you know, of what we say, that they would solely look, take a long look. But you know what it is? It's that six-figure income, and they stay fat and entertained, just like an gladiator when they were throwing them the bread. You know, they were being fat and entertained. They were well taken care of. They throw them loaves of bread. They could sit and but the whole time, the gladiators were fighting for their damn life. You know, and that's out here. Same thing. If they're burning up the freaking manufacturing plants and it just so happened to be the food. It just so happened to be the food that they're sitting here freaking attacking the damn food. And they're so damn greedy that they don't even want to share. You know, of the most abundant resource on the planet is food and water. And they always talk scarcity. You know, there's always a scarce of food and water. But when you go to Alaska, there ain't nothing but water. Icebergs, that freaking blue water, just blue icebergs. You know? I mean, I could see, you know, constantly wanting to, you know, make efforts toward, you know, a green energy type, you know, electrical cars, you know, to, you know, if you could cut down on chlorofluorocarbons and stuff like that, you know, yeah, you know, and, you know, the amount of pollutions that vehicles put out, if you can take steps necessary, you know, but it just seems like that we don't even have, you know, politicians or whatever, people in leadership, you know, areas, even in the wake of manufacturing, that we have to offshore our manufacturing to have it shipped back into our country for distribution. You know, it's just a shame that, you know, it just goes to show you how small-minded we are as Americans. But we're ready to pack the stadiums because we make a six-figure income. You know, six, seven-figure income. And we let money blind us as a people. You know, it's just, it's sickening. It's sad. And then when we come, you know, and find out an attack is on our food, the ones that we do have here, manufactured plants, then nobody's even asking a question. Hell, it would seem like CNN would be on something like that. But we got to find it out here on Revolution Radio in our host chat that somebody states it. We got to go watch a video on it because we ain't even heard it on our mainstream.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know what to say, man. It's just, we've got to get the word out. I mean, that's why we do what we do, right? Got to get the word out, so. Mm.
Yeah, and then they talking about racing on Fox. They were talking about one of the hosts was going to the racetrack, and he was going to get the ride in a race car. You know, that's the main topic of the freaking whole day, I guess. You know? But a freaking food manufacturer, a grain manufacturing plant at that. You know? And we're sitting here, you know, having a concern because we can't get grain. They're ready to attack Putin because he didn't want to freaking release grain to the world, right? But yet our freaking one plant that we know of being attacked right here in America, but we on Fox News, they can't wait to see this guy go get a race car. More freaking atmospheric freaking gases that they solely freaking so on top of the everything going green, right? And here he's ready to go around track and burn freaking jet fuel going around the track. But why Fox ain't on top of the freaking grain explosion? You know? You see what I'm saying? They got people so freaking wrapped up in propaganda, you know, of what's not even important. These people on the freaking Fox News ought to be fired. Fired. They're not actual reporters. They're freaking script readers. Hello. Boy, I just said a mouthful right there.
Well, yeah, they're controlled. They have handlers. They're only allowed to say certain things, and it's probably written in their contract that if they don't follow certain guidelines and procedures, you know, whatever that is, they get fired and stuff like that. No, they're not going to tell the truth. They don't care. They're actors, man. Come on.
Absolutely. And it's damn disgusting what's going on here in this damn country. You know?
Yeah, they've done a good job of screwing people's minds up, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And what was that thing that a mechanic had one night on the show with y'all on the high council? You know, of the guy talking about from India or whatever. He was talking about, you know, taking away what? What was that? Free will. and being bored. Oh, with,
That dude, Harari,
Yuval Harari, Yeah, talking about being bored with, so you can go to them, and you know, it's okay to be bored. You know, so that way they just little by little, right? They just take away your thinking of you're an individual that can think. So now you're going to need your government to freaking, you got to go run to them. But isn't that what Grandma Nancy wanted? She said, we know what's best for America. And I couldn't believe Wolf Blitzer kind of like drew up a hair out of the back of his head and kind of like, wait a minute, Nancy. Wolf Blitzer. He's part of the freaking Kazarian group, huh?
Yeah, Michael Savage calls him a dime store dummy.
And Nancy went on live, you know, and said, well, we know what's best for American people. You know, trying to act like our grandma, our mom.
That's the problem. They've got the culture to the point where people think the government, they look to the government to take care of them. And I don't think it's a majority of people, but I think it's enough that they make everybody think that that's what everybody wants. But I don't think that a majority of the people want that. I really don't.
I'm going to tell you the truth right here, right now, of what's truly going on, people. And what your American government has done is they have stolen, literally stolen, all the wealth. I'll not say all, that's a little strong, but the majority of wealth that belongs to you as a blue-collar worker, they have stolen. And then how I know? Well, when you wake up and you want to go freaking put that case of beer back in the cooler and keep that money in your feedthepig.org, your piggy bank, which is your banking account, then you say, I don't need that type of high. I need the high of Revolution Radio. And you find out that when you come listen to us and you hear somebody like myself and the rest, you know, tell you that, yeah, they've been funding freaking bio labs in Ukraine. Oh, how many? Over 30. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that your American government has been doing. And that's not only the mind raping that they freaking do. There's no telling, they've been funding all these, $40 billion multiple times to Ukraine for these weapons, shoulder missiles. And now what they said, Deacon, Sergeant, y'all might have heard they were running those planes out of Israel now. What's going on with that? I just heard, hijacker one of them, Mr. Rowe or somebody, saying they were running planes, ships, all kind of stuff. They freaking running out of Israel over there. I mean, hell, and then they were running that junk across Poland, remember? Running it out of Poland at one time. Just here not too long ago. You know, running it from the railways. And I mean, we could take away from the mindset that Putin is, you know, he's strategically continuing to what he's doing. Is he's still marching westward, or what is he doing? I haven't seen anything lately. Have you all saw him march westward?
Yeah, I think that they're trying to encircle and take control of the rest of the territory of those two independent republics, and they'll have a solid like crescent ring over about one third of at least a quarter of the Ukraine. I think he wants to do that first so he can announce that you know, that those two republics are fully in control, have joined, you know, the Russia, that type of thing.
Yeah. Talking about like down by Lavrov and Donbass and the eastern part, Luhansk and Donetsk and stuff. I think that at one point they was having a little, I don't know, like a little pushback in one of those areas. But I think it, now that they've gained control over those certain areas, huh? Is that correct?
I think so. I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So if he was able to, you know, say, like, get control of those different areas now, I happened to go watch one of the videos. I don't remember who posted it in our chat. But I did see, like, there was a I don't know if it was, like, a little a subdivision type of or a little portion of a town. But it looked like that there was a major shelling, a bombing in one area. It looked like about 7 or 8 freaking missiles set off in this one area. I mean, it just looked like it annihilated. I mean, as I was saying, that maybe they doing what I was thinking, that the beaches of Normandy, they would have did the same thing. But, you know, those guys going on those boats.
Yeah.
That they was going to send in the planes first, because these guys were shooting with howitzers at the top of the freaking hill, and some of the guys didn't even make it off the boat. You know, so
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's smart thing. You know, thinking that, you know, Putin would send in planes first to take care of certain areas, so his troops could come in with the, you know, the ground force or whatever, and continue his march. You know, but you see what people don't realize, that we come to learn that, you know, two different things. That with the expansionism that the West and the United States, and I don't know if you was listening to me one night, Deacon, that what they're finding out, that some of these NATO countries are not on board with the U.S. expansionism eastward. Not too many of them are falling in place. You know, they're starting to get a bad taste about all of this expansionism.
Yeah, I saw some of that. I heard that. I think I heard your broadcast on that, and that's been borne out with the that's been in the news the past couple of days, I think, too. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What did you hear?
That was a YouTube. I can't remember. One of the YouTube channels I follow did a report saying that they're not. Some of them are not real crazy about that. I can't remember. I'll take a look and see if I could find it.
Yeah. And when you find it, will it let you play it, or?
Yeah, I mean, I can't do that on my computer, but I can give you the link if you want. Yeah, but I'll take a look here in a minute, see if I can find anything.
Yeah, if people happen to be listening to me that night I was speaking, you know, that I brought it because I just wanted the people to see, Deacon, anytime that I find this good information like this, I like to bring it, you know, if it's dead air, you know, and bring it to the station to where people could hear it, and just as well as I'm learning with them, and let them know what truly is going on. And just like we find Turkey is against what Finland and Sweden has done, you see, because you know that they realize. And they wouldn't sign on. They specifically said they would not sign on of what was being taken place here. And shame on Finland and Sweden, because if they would have just did their homework a little bit, they would have found out that America didn't want Putin to come on into Venezuela and Cuba. Well, this would give them the right to freaking sign on with NATO, knowing that they were on the border of freaking Russia. They shouldn't have did it. They shouldn't have did it. They should have worked with Putin. And whatever currency they use, I don't know. Do you know the currency of Finland and Sweden, Deacon? I don't. I was just curious.
That's a guilders or kroners. I don't know. I could check.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to know. Because, you know, just like Sergeant Miller said, that Putin wants, you know, these countries to, you know, continue using their currency of their country. And, you know, I'm all for it, you know, myself. But doggone it, if you sign on with NATO, who's to say that you don't wind up becoming under the currency of the euro? You see?
Right.
Now you're tied in. You see? Which the value is freaking the currency of Putin and the freaking ruble. You see, that's why it gives me some validity to stand on my statement reigning to be true about the rule. So, and Sergeant Miller is definitely respected in what he was stating. That, but the thing is, you have to take away two of what I'm stating to be true. Because if, let's just say, if Finland and Sweden did follow under the euro, then there you go. That does away with their currency. They go under the euro, screwing freaking Putin. You see what I'm saying? When they could have teamed up with Putin, went under the ruble and strengthened the ruble. If they want to give up their own currency, why not get into somebody that's on the border of your damn country? How the hell are you going to get on with somebody else? You know, now I can see on the, their western border, you know, I can see that, but it has nothing to do with currency when it comes to an opposing freaking military, you know, because they're having military dealings in action right now. And you can see that you're wanting to stand on the right side of history. So the wrong thing would be to go in a in the wake of a currency that is standing on the wrong side of history. You see? And that would be under the euro, because then the euro may be tied, you know, could be tied in with the freaking NATO, and they all might be tied. You know, it's corruption. It's freaking corruption. Because why I say that? Because the United States is in NATO. Hello. You see? And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. That being that they're neighbors to Russia, you should never, Finland and Sweden should have said, let us think about it. We'll get back with you. Then they could have went before Putin, and they could have like communicated with him, and they could have seen how he felt about it. Whereas just following under the regime of the euro or NATO or whatever, you see, because you got to weigh this stuff out, man. And you got to see
go.
That.
Wait, go ahead. Here's the article. This is what we were talking about, what you did your show on the other day. Major EU states oppose granting Ukraine candidate status. This is over in Russia Today, and it came out May 31st. Many of the bloc's members oppose Kiev jumping the queue, the Italian prime minister warned. Okay, so that's that. Almost all the major EU member countries are against giving Ukraine candidate status except Italy. So that's kind of confirming what you said, that they don't really want to deal with this shit, you know, and they're kind of like, well, United States, you're not going to volunteer to have our populations melted first, you know, so.
And who is saying that?
This is an article in Russia Today, and let me see here. Let me see who wrote it here. It's an interview with the Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi, and he said, quote, almost all major EU members, countries, are against giving Ukraine candidate status except Italy, Draghi said at a press conference in Brussels, answering a question from the Italian news agency ANSA. Candidate status is currently not predictable due to the opposition of these countries. So there you go.
So they're not wanting to give Ukraine status, like standard,
right.
You know.
This is European Union status. This would be economic. Now, as far as I gotta see if I can find the NATO article too. Let's see if I can find the NATO article. Let's see, I'll search for that.
You see? And that's what I'm stating, that these individuals, countries, you know, that when they wake up from their stupor, and, you know, it's like somebody's got to use their freaking brain here, man. I mean, and then when you sit and you think about, well, do we go in the wake of what these corrupted freaking countries are going? Do we go in the wake of communist Marxist communist freaking China? You know?
Well, I know Turkey has come out. Turkey's a NATO member and has come out and said, you know, we're not gonna vote for this. So. I know Turkey for sure. I don't know. Poland, they sent in two brigades, about maybe 20,000 men. But what they did is they went up, they advanced from Poland into the Ukraine up to the territory that they lost after World War II. So I think Putin cut a deal with Poland and said, hey, you know, you can have your territory back. You lost at the end of World War II if you throw in with us. And, you know, so I think that was a side deal. It was probably secret. So I would probably say Poland and Turkey. I don't know what other, you know, NATO members. There's a lot of little countries that are like Central and Eastern Europe that are NATO members. They haven't really said much, so I'm going to bet that they probably aren't much. They don't want to deal with the Russians either. So I think it's just United States, France, and Germany are the ones, really, you know, that really want this.
See? It's just like, you know, it seems like that people would put on their thinking caps and they start thinking about the unfair gameplay here. You know, and then you got freaking Finland and Sweden, because the Bidens are trying to freaking ally up, you see, to say. Because we already know with all of the junk goings on with freaking, you know, the Bidens and freaking the Obamas and the Clintons, you know, just as well as Hillary. Now she's got that Sussman freaking trial going on. And
well, he was found not guilty. That lawyer, yeah. Her lawyer, found not guilty. Uh-huh. Of course he's going to be found not guilty, because they own, you know, they own
that
judges.
I immediately turned it. I said, of course he would. Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
This whole thing is just, yeah.
And people forget about whenever she was running against Trump and her campaign financing ran out, but she was still able to be in the race. So a lot of people believe that she was being funded by the Arabs or whatever, right? Being jacked up by the Arabs. So we don't know, because we found that Obama immediately took her in the back room because he knew that he would be the next president. And he probably just stated, and that's a public office. That's when I knew it was all corrupt. I mean, which is, you know, government's been corrupt for many freaking years, probably hundreds, but still. He probably pulled her back and said, don't worry about it. We're going to take it. These are my brothers. We're going to take care of it. You know, we'll take care of your extra pay here. We'll cut down on the payment. May not have to pay interest charges. We'll just pay them straight outright. Don't worry about the taxpayers that's got your back.
Mm-hmm.
You notice I said the taxpayers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind raping. That's what it is, man. It's exactly, that's the perfect way to describe it. Absolutely.
Oh, just one thing after the other, huh, Deke? I just be bringing it, throwing it, and it's like, it just all makes sense, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, you know, my mom always said it all comes out in a wash. I mean, sooner or later, this junk, all this stuff, man, it has to come out in a wash. You know, what happens, you see, back in the old days, they used to have those old wringer type wash machine. And you didn't have no rinse. There was no such thing as rinse. You know, you had to, when you would wash those clothes in those old Springer type, and it was the one with the rollers at the top, right? That's the ones where they had the rollers right above you where your clothes were being washed. Well, you couldn't just drain the water like per se and it would go into a rinse cycle. You had to drain the water and then you had to fill it back up and let it, you know, oscillate around to rinse your clothes. And that's how you did it. That's the rinse cycle. You see? Yeah. Well, same thing with, you know, with the way that they run in this junk today, our system. You know, it's all dirty. There ain't no rinse cycle. You know, it's just freaking plain. The dirt is still there.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's all dirty, man. Freaking
it's a shame,
dirty.
Man, isn't it?
Dirty.
It's a shame, you know.
Yeah. But you can see that dirt, you know, in the old-time washing machine, that the dirt was still there. You could see it. It was right in your face. It was an open top. It wasn't none of that closed the lid. There was no lid. You know? That's amazing. Yeah. I go way back, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of this stuff is just, I guess they got all kinds of different programs and schemes and all kinds of, they're arrogant bastards. So that's the thing over there at David's, you know?
It was such a bad time. And everything that happened started by other people's money. So,
hang on,
how do you get other people's
money? Got some background.
I think I made my point that you want to get access to other people's money. How do you do
you
it?
You got some background there. There Who you go. That? That's 808 free and awake, man.
Hey, what's up, 808? Welcome to the call. What's up, brother?
When he gets a chance to turn off this stuff, he can unmute his mic and come on in, man.
Right on. Yeah, man, I tell you. I'd like to know what 808 thinks about them, you know, burning up these freaking manufacturing food plants.
Yeah, no kid.
Oh, I think it's awful. I think it's horrible. Insidious. Can you guys hear me okay? Because I don't have my normal setup.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're good.
Good. Yeah, maybe I don't need my headsets after all. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. And why it's not more obvious, and as Two Feathers pointed out, why it's not being reported is beyond me. Well, I know why. Deacon explained that, because they're all basically on the take. They're controlled agents, and they do what they're told by contract or just by affiliation, right? They agree with the agenda. A lot of them do, I'm sure. But American people won't be able to put things together and see this is not congruent. This doesn't add up. I could see one plant here and there once in a great while, but consistently, like almost daily, right? We've been destruction of food resources, we'll say. And these mass shootings have been occurring on a regular basis. So people need to start figuring it out and damn the football games, as Two Feathers was saying. That's not important. They control us because we concentrate on things that are not so important. We deprioritize things that should be our top priority. Our food, our freedom, you know, our wealth, our well-being, those things are more important. You know, not some multi-million dollar contract from some superstar sports player or entertainer or what have you. Like, look at the case in point, the Johnny Depp trial, right? Mm-hmm. They go balls to the walls with that, and you're saturated with information on that, you know, more than you would ever care to know. But they don't televise the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, you know, where they're engaged in human trafficking of minors and worse, you know, all kinds of awful things, right? That gets no attention or scant attention. It's brushed aside. They try to give it the minimum sentence possible, right? But this thing here, this distraction, this trinket, the Johnny Depp trial, got nothing against Johnny Depp or Amber Heard. But by comparison, it's completely backwards. That type of media saturation should have been devoted to the Ghislaine Maxwell trial and Epstein and all the rest of those cohorts. Over. Yeah. I said a lot, so if anybody wants to chime in, amplify.
No, you're good. It's a problem, isn't it? I mean, it's like if you're telling me if what we're saying is that they're controlling the courts, like this Sussman, Clinton's lawyer, dirty lawyer, got found not guilty. I mean, what kind of country do we have then? We, you know, I mean, what the hell is going on here, man? You know,
look at the view. It was in the swamp. So why should we expect swamp creatures to, do anything less, right? They're going to protect their own. So, and I kind of hope that he knew what he was getting into, right? He planned this out, but he wanted to bring certain things into the public record. And I'm talking about Durham, by the way. So he took the loss, sacrificed the pawn for greater leverage or strategy down the road that will play out, because it's a matter of record that Hillary Clinton funded the Alpha Bank scandal, right? She gave the go ahead. So that's a matter of law, right? So you can take that as a basis or springboard for further indictments, trials, and hopefully arrests. But I'd be interested on your take, Deacon.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. I guess apparently they've got things so locked down and controlled and so corrupted that the process can't work. The electoral process can't work. The political process can't work. And the legal process can't work. I mean, that's really bad. I don't think I've ever seen it like this before in this country. You know, this whole thing started when the Clintons got in power and Obama is when all this stuff started. So, I mean, I don't know, man.
It's accelerated with them, yeah. It's even more apparent now. You know, it's just like this exponential growth of corruption, right? Power politics. Really, at the root of all of this is Jewish power politics, right? Because they're puppet masters controlling all of this. It's all a theater up front. Clinton's, you know, a principal actor. But they're not the true controllers. They benefit immensely from the corruption and the Jewish power politics, but they're not the ones that are ultimately in control. But they certainly benefit. So unless we do a root cause analysis, we're not going to solve this problem. So, what's your take?
How do you get? Go ahead.
Two Feathers, and maybe even Sergeant Miller, if he wants to chime in. What's his position on the getting down to the root cause, right? Get down to the nitty gritty, and I label it Jewish power politics because that's the only way to define it, right? You got a bug in the soup, and you got to identify. You got to get, you know, it's contaminating the whole soup, so you got to identify it, right? You can't deny its existence anymore. But I'm willing to be persuaded otherwise. So anybody got any input on that?
I just can't wait to the day, you know, what would be like a birthday for this country is if I was to, and I'm telling you, I believe in miracles. What would be a miracle to me is to wake up one morning and to see all of these politicians stand up by their chair in these offices of the Senate, the House, you know, and in Congress, and say, we have let the American people down, and we want to state it this very day, and we're walking away. They're going home. That would be such a great miracle to be able to see with your own eyes, and to for them to, you know, because they have failed their office, if you ask me. They failed. They failed as political leaders. They get an F.
Well, failure depends on your perspective. from our perspective, they fail. But from their controllers, manipulators, and their ambitions and designs, they have not failed. In fact, you could argue that they have succeeded immensely, right? Right, because ostensibly they're there for the American people, but that's just cover. You know, that's just the premise to get in power. They're not not even about us at all. It never has been, right? But they use that, you know, as leverage, as a vehicle to drive their way into the system, make changes.
808, back in the old days, the Democrat Party was the, you know, you hear them now, they'll talk about, this is not the Democrats of your grandpa.
Right.
That's what they meant by that, because it used to be for the blue collar worker.
Right.
I'm not saying that the white collar does not deserve to go on and, you know, make this 6 or 7 figure income, but they forgot about the blue collar worker. That's what I'm saying.
Right. And in any
in all fairness,
discussion of politics, you have to paint with a broad brush, right? You know, all white collar people are not bad. Maybe all Democrats are not bad, right? Although I'm starting to move away from that opinion as, you know, each day goes by. But yeah, but we got to paint with our broad brush. And the Democratic Party of the 60s, right, in its heyday under the Kennedy-esque era, the Camelot, I think that's what we all yearn for. And, well, hey, who wouldn't want to join a party like that, right? It really kind of exemplifies what America is all about, like the melting pot and people being able to achieve their dreams, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, who can argue with that, right? But it's moved away from that and has become like this leftist, communist political apparatus that's bent on destroying this country and reforming it and reshaping it into the image that they want. I guess, i.e. communism, right? Or Marxism. Or some form of socialism, you know, that's just not totally antithetical to the American proposition, right? The American, what we are about, right? What we bring, the light of liberty to the world. They want the complete and total opposite. They want to take our guns away, our ability to defend ourselves, and to defend ourselves mainly against them, the government, right?
That's what it's intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's the veiled intention, right? Not just to protect you from the burglars, but from a government that fails to represent the people, as you pointed out. So, says very sad.
It failed its own people. No, it failed to represent its people in the fashion of what, you know, but they keep, you see what they do is they bring maritime law into the conversation. So that excludes us, you know, and puts us under the Slavery Act, like, in other words, 14th Amendment, you know, makes us all slave, you know. And the thing is, and they let the corporations have the power over the people. And that's why it puts us under that, you know, that maritime law, you see, of the 14th Amendment. And then that's where they've gotten us all at. But at some point, you know, they always talk about evolution. But you see, then we come to know right here in our face the Green New Deal. Everything going green, you know, I'm not worried about the damn globalism.
Dear brother, I love your example because you called them on their bullshit, right? You said, okay, they're talking about green this and fossil fuel emissions, and now we got to reduce our carbon footprint towards zero. And yet they're making a big feature story, the central focus of a man racing a car around the track. Not even trying to go to work or do something productive. This is purely for sports and entertainment, right? Contradict themselves often, don't they? Why don't they make it an electric car venue if electric cars are so vaunted, right? And the way to the future and the way to go towards greenery, which we know that's just a ruse, right? Because at the core of electric cars, there's a coal-firing plant producing the electricity to charge batteries, right? It's just stored energy, right, that fundamentally comes from fossil. I don't like fossil fuel, but for, just for quick reference, I'll say that. We all know that the fuel is abiotic, and this shortage is an artificial construct, right, by the manipulators and controllers. That's why they want to destroy our food supply, right, to make it just untenable. You can't afford to even buy eggs. So, but you need bugs or whatever, you know, if they allow that. So, yeah, so good on you for making that observation, you know, the hypocrisy.
Thank you, Adoree.
Yeah.
And we learned that just this past week they was at the World Economic Forum. And remember, everything going green and global, you know, I'm not worried about the global, but the green thing, everything green this and green that as well. And somebody showed on, I think in our Rev chat room, they had all of their freaking airplanes parked outside like some, they were showboating some brand new cars.
Right.
Every one of their jets were parked outside like all, you know, like all in a row.
Yeah, just in your face, opulence, right? Just a fleet of Gulfstreams, Lear jets, and what have you.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And limousines, too. You know, you got one or two people in these big, long, gas-guzzling
stretch limos. Yeah.
Full contradiction, right? So it's as we say, not as we do. Right?
Right. Yeah.
So.
And, but, and man, it's just like brand new, like Lamborghinis or something parked outside in a row.
They got to have
all the jets. Oh, good. But
they're not going to be caught dead in a used anything, right? Everything's the latest, up to date, whatever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No used limousines for these folks. And their, I mean, their meals, these sumptuous meals that they have, right?
Oh, yeah.
They gave a list at the, I think it was the UN summit or something, of the menu items that these people have, like these 7 and 8 course meals, you know. You can think pheasant under glass or something. Like these 19th century robber barons, right, in the early 20th century, you know, they're just exceedingly opulent. You know, that's the best way I could describe it. Excess, like they had in the 80s, right, under that guy, was it Milken? Gordon Gekko, yeah.
Right. Yeah, the bastard stole a lot of money, didn't he?
He did. Oh, man. But he was, he just served as an example of the mentality, you know, of that era, you know. The dot-com bubble and all of this, you know, all of this rapid expansion, only to just go bust, you know, once they get all of the fish in, right? Suckers into the scheme.
Yeah, but they got armed security.
They do. They have private armies. Yep.
Yeah, another, but they want to get rid of guns, but they ain't going to get rid of their security that got the gun.
Right. And what does every other Hollywood movie feature, you know, gunplay, you know, weaponry, all the action movies. I can't think of a single action movie that doesn't feature gunplay, or for lack of a better word, right? So guns are heavily featured in the Hollywood at least in the presentations, right, in their action movies. But yet they decry guns and the violence and all of this, you know, and on the other side of things, you know, in the real world, they don't want to have these things for us. But, of course, as you mentioned, they have their own security agents protecting them. Yeah, and they're heavily armed, right? Like Rosie O'Donnell, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She's all against guns, but she's got armed guards surrounding her. She's probably packing her own weapon, too, as well. So, yeah. Hypocrisy, that's their the key feature, right? Key operating principle is to be hypocrites.
Well, just like I was sharing with Deacon, I don't know, 808, if you were listening to Deacon's show, yesterday, that dude guy brought on, you know, you know, these people, how did I say to the deacon a while ago? How they, shoot, I forgot how I was going
to
say it.
Who gives them the right to rule us, these worldly
economic?
Yeah, by the way, I listen to Deacon religiously, so I'm tuned in. Yeah, it's very self.
How did a few of these people, you know, get to come up and say, I did hear Klaus Schwab as well state that, you know, we are the ones that are leading the future, you know? And I'm like, since when?
Right.
And I thought it was the workers out there freaking sweating in the fields and, you know, putting down their brain power to structurize all of the structures that were coming from the ground up 50 stories in the air.
They're self-appointed leaders, aren't they? Like, they just anoint themselves, right?
Yeah, so put their money for.
Got this, you know, we're in control of everything, you know. Oh, you didn't get the memo? What? I mean, you know, you didn't know we were running things? and you were to point out Bill Gates. I think it was you, or somebody did. Maybe it was on the round table earlier.
Yeah, I did. I pointed out Bill Gates' press foreman.
Yeah, he's people identify him as a Microsoft philanthropist, right? When he's really into depopulation. No, Sergeant Miller said that. Sergeant Miller mentioned.
We're talking about the jab.
Right. His primary intent is to depopulate the world, so he's not this benign, friendly, benevolent
philanthropist
that's just a geeky guy that wants to fix your computer and give you good software or whatever.
His
pink sweater.
He wants to fix your jeans.
Yeah, so he puts on this cloak of a harmless geeky genius, right? So people, they disassociate. They don't see him as the pure villain that he really is, right?
Rewrite your DNA.
Yeah. He had a meltdown on a congressional testimony that many people have forgotten about, where he just became like, catatonic. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do that. He just totally... he's beside himself, and I can't describe it. His whole persona just shut down, right there, live and on camera, giving congressional testimony because he got caught in his BS, right? I think it was related to monopolizing software mark, the shenanigans of Microsoft, right? So how they take developers' ideas, steal them, bankrupt them, and then claim them as their own. So
see what he does is. When he goes to his elitist round tables or whatever meetings, he talks, he laughs and says we're going to basically exterminate people and get rid of the population. But then he'll go on Good Morning America, whatever that shit is, and he'll say, oh, we're just here to help children and we want to eradicate disease and all this other bullshit. So the guy's obviously he's a big liar.
Right. Both sides of his mouth, like two feathers will say it, and the old folks used to say. Yeah, exactly. He's in one venue, he's a proponent of death, and in another venue, he's like this the savior and healer of mankind, or wants to be. And particularly children, he's really concerned about children, when he's not eating them or sacrificing them, right? So, yeah.
And isn't it funny how, that on Good Morning America and all around the world, these gun shootings can make mainstream headline news on a newspaper, but Bill Gates behind closed door, and no telling this World Economic Forum people, and they can continue to do these secret jabs at Dr. Fauci. Good old Uncle Fauci, huh? And then we hear Biden supposed to turn over all the power to the WHO and all of that. That these people can continue to have these secret annihilations of the human race.
Right.
But that doesn't even make the back of the paper.
No. They're being coached and told of what they will report on and what they will not report on. So, you know, there you go.
They can secretly, you know, murder people in America through vaccinations. And now remember, this is what the one thing that I don't want people to lose sight of. We have a total, you don't know how to spell it, go look it up in the dictionary. Total government. All of them. Every single one of them that sits and allows, because of the scientific, now we heard Harrison Ford say we should stop giving people that don't trust in science power. We should stop giving people that don't trust science or don't believe in science. We should stop giving those people power, right? But we got a total government that sits and knows for a fact that this damn jab that they give around this world. And then you know what they mind rape? There we are again, Deacon. They mind rape people into believing. Now, here's something that's going to trip y'all out.
Uh-huh.
If you are in top health, in other words, exercise, that, you know, and your health is very good, that the jab, the two jabs and two boosters shouldn't affect you. Well, that's a big crock of crap. Because
right.
We done seen sports athletes fall on the field dead. Dead.
Yeah. So what he's saying is, those who don't trust the pseudoscience, right? Because pure science should be supported, right? Because it's reality. It's replicatable, right? And it's open to critique. It's peer reviewed. You know, you have documentation and proof, you know, as much as possible to support your position. So, yeah, I would agree with Harrison Ford. So let's get rid of Fauci, you know, so I would take the opposite spin, right? He's trying to make it look like, you know, if you have a counter narrative, you're anti-science, which really, in fact, you are more scientific than
well,
they are.
If you're talking about, like, evolution science, like, okay, we found out that a certain, like, per se, if we found out, like, a certain something didn't work because, you know, we tried a chemical that didn't get rid of the rust like it said it was going to get rid of on a certain product, that we needed to sustain this certain material, a metal or whatever the case, that the science proved like that. That's what I'm saying, that type of science. But when it comes to, you see what I'm saying, Deacon?
Trial and error experimentation.
But the thing is,
honesty, right? You have to be honest, right? You don't fudge science to put into the outcome that you want, which is what Pfizer did, right? They ignored the evidence, hid the evidence, suppressed the evidence to the contrary, right?
Yeah. In with monkeys, like let's say for example, you tried a product that wasn't scientifically safe on the bodies of a monkey, and it just like made them bald and they hairy animals. You know, the science proved that you can't use the chemical being used on human hair because it's going to make them bald. Right? That's the science again of it.
Similar.
Now,
yeah.
Now, let me go to the other side, Dr. Fauci. Yeah, Dr. Fauci. Now, if Harrison Ford is talking about someone taking the damn jab, then he's out of order. Straight up. He ought to be arrested. Because and just like our freaking government, I'm stating right here, right now, that every single one of them know of Fauci. And we've come to realize that the people listening around the world to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, and they know that we found through our scientific studies that damn jab has what is it? Myocarditis.
Myocarditis. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Freaking heart failure. And Sergeant right. Miller has even proved it of an individual that he knows personally, of a girl's grandmother went into a pharmacy here in America and took the jab and died outside the parking lot from taking the jab.
Right.
You see?
Yeah. There's no connection to the vaccine now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not a vaccine. It's a freaking, it's an experimentation.
Right. But I'm using terminology, right? They call it a vaccine. And there's no connection. Deaths are not repeated. There's no correlation, right?
It's gene therapy research. Let me restate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there you go. So there, and all of the ball government officials know that through this gene therapy research, Dr. Judy Mikovits, right?
Right.
She's even proved it. And we stated it here. And she's also been on Revolution Radio to prove her case. And she incarcerated it, where we learned, for 5 years and put on a gag order.
She represents the science, the very thing that Harrison Ford is, you know, reportedly representing. But, you know, so, good on you, Harrison Ford. I support Judy Mikovits. Yeah, and people like her, people that are, you know.
And you see? So all of our government officials are totally freaking out of order, and they ought to stand up, turn to the left, and walk out the damn door and resign. Because they all stood fast with freaking Fauci and let this criminal freaking continue his criminalistic acts of what he's doing, and totally exclude Dr. Judy's freaking research of science and prove them wrong. Of the jab that he was given upon the population of people.
Well, we know that won't happen for many reasons. First of all, even if they were inclined to do that, their lives or their families' lives would be threatened, right? They'd probably arrange for some false flag shooting at a family outing. You know, coincidentally, the good senator died too. And then the ensuing gunfire, something like that. You know how these people are, right? Or he committed suicide, she committed suicide, you know.
Yeah, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, so if they take that position, which they're not inclined to do, because many of them have criminal mentalities, and a criminal never admits that they're wrong, right? You know, you're not going to have a murderer say, you know what, you got me, yeah, I'm guilty. Yeah, the facts do support, the evidence supports the fact that I'm guilty and I'm going to confess. You know, all the way up to conviction and beyond, you know. I mean, the jailhouse is full of people that, you know, are innocent, right, according to them. And many of them are, right, but most of them probably are not. You know? So, yeah.
Would you think that after they have found scientific study, and they didn't even test it on the freaking animals first. They tested it on the humans.
Right.
And when they started seeing a numerous amount of people and nobody's being brought to justice on the, you know, the hospitalization and, you know, the, what was the jab, the protocol in the hospitals?
Remdesivir?
Yeah. Inside the hospital, there was a protocol.
Another
that was probably... What was that?
Fauci endorsed product.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, look, we just slamming it down right here, right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like the world is hearing us, hopefully, that they see in of the criminalistic, and we also have a sitting government that all are invested into Dr. Fauci being the mainsayer of being allowed to head up this whole thing. And then we got Biden stating the other day that he's willing to turn over total power to the WHO. So what does that say? That the military should march in there and arrest this dude for stating such an act.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that's unconstitutional. He can't do that.
Hell no. How are you going to turn over your governmental operations to a freaking World Health Organization.
Exactly.
Are you freaking kidding me?
What is it, Deacon? Marbury versus Madison? All laws pertinent to the Constitution are essentially void, right? Null and void.
Well, yeah, that's the case that the Supreme Court said that it, you know, it can determine whether things are constitutional or not, you know? It has that power to do that, yeah.
Right, right. So
has the power to do what, Deacon?
Supreme Court can look at a law or an executive order or an act by the government official or the president or a law passed by Congress and declare it unconstitutional.
Right. And the same would hold true with treaties, right? I know treaties have this bonding.
Yeah, position. I mean, it's got to adhere to the Constitution, two-thirds of the Senate, right? Ratify a treaty, yeah.
And that's the genius of the Constitution, because look, even if they're inclined to do so, you got to have two-thirds of the Senate, you know, ratify this thing, right? What was that, like 66 or something like that, right? So, you know, so that's another hurdle in and of itself. And then the Supreme Court, the judiciary can say, well, you know what, guys, it's unconstitutional. We're throwing it out. We're going to rescind it. Nah, can't have it. You got to fix this treaty or get rid of it or whatever. And even before they vote on it, it has to go through several steps, right? Notice and comment, basically, you know, judicial review, legislative review. They can't just willy-nilly say, okay, here's a treaty, here it is, it's the law, right? There are steps into that process. So Biden is not an autocrat, even though the media tries to fictionalize him and position him as you know, it's this autocratic ruler with absolute powers. He does not have it. That's just a fantasy, an illusion that they cast out before the American people, right? Like Biden's all.
I think so, yeah.
But he's really nothing. He's a paper tiger, you know. And in fact, most of the things he's tried to do have been struck down by the courts, right? Everything he's tried to do, I can't think of anything. He tried to lift Trump's return to Mexico policy, basically, right? Mm-hmm. But the judge slapped him down and says, nope, you're not going to do that, right? I mean, and there's just numerous things that they tried to do, but they all got slapped down quietly, I guess, by the courts, right? So you got all this sound and fury and this blustering and this propaganda, right, which is noisy, loud, and grandiose, and then it just quietly gets dismissed or shut down, and they, you know, they give scant reportings of it, right, because they want to keep projecting this all-powerful persona, right, of really the Democrat Party. But if you look at it, you know, in totality, the whole picture, just step back, they haven't really succeeded in anything, and they supposedly have all the power. They stole the election. But it hasn't really, all it did was expose them for the deviants that they really are. Right. It's just made it more apparent to the American people, right? I think. Yeah, so they're on display, really. So maybe that was a gift, having them steal the election and assume power, because now people can see firsthand. It's no longer in the realm of speculation, right? You can see them raising gas prices. You can see the food prices going up. I mean, you can see all of these things, right? You can see the corruption, the collusion. I mean, it's all there before you. It's like theater, right? It's like watching a Shakespearean drama, right? I mean, it's got all of those elements, you know, human foibles. Yeah, so that's why they say enjoy the show, because it really is on a certain level. Although we've been affected by it, right? It's not like watching a movie, right? If something happens in the movie, that necessarily happens to us. But we're the observers and the participants, right?
What kind of crap they gonna pull, you think, with the elections in the fall? Now, how's that gonna work? What do you guys think about that? What kind of lie and bullshit are they gonna pull then?
Right.
Maybe it'll wake people up. You know, how can anybody in the right mind think that Biden got elected? Well,
we're using the same Dominion machine. There you go. Get ready for this good election again. There we go. QAnon, here we come.
Now there are some jurisdictions that have changed their election laws to make it harder for them to cheat. So that might offset some of the shenanigans that they want to pull, but they really want to push another pandemic, right? Because that way they can institute mail-in voting, you know.
You know what was so funny? When they used the rods of God in the when you go back and you God being used, right? The same thing with the grain manufacturing plant being attacked. And you know, they purposely attack the food. And then all of a sudden, the people, the public, become educated and they're wanting to know, right? Instead of remaining naive, they come in to figure out that, hey, wait a minute. The people are figuring out that Dominion voting machines are in this area. So all of a sudden, now what a coincidence, the rods of God hits in the area of Dominion voting machines. Where they're being stored in a warehouse.
So people can't investigate. Yeah. A lot of coincidences, right? So what we have is coincidence theory, right? Which is supposed to be more plausible than conspiracy theories, right? You know, no, this is not planned and well-timed and coordinated. They're all just coincidences, guys, you know? That's supposed to be the superior level of thought. You know, you're supposed to dismiss all conspiracy theories
and
acquiesce to the coincidence theories, right? You know, you just happen to be there. You're just in the right place at the wrong time or whatever, you know. And just like at Uvalde, that school shooting. You know, they just happened to stand down, right? Someone just happened to let the kid into the school, you know.
But
that's a coincidence. Right?
Unlocked door?
Yeah. It's a coincidence, right, Sergeant Miller? It's not a conspiracy. I mean, why would we even entertain the thought that it could be some group of people conspiring, you know, for for the ill will of the people, right? And to pull something off like this, to kill, you know, little innocent children, right? Just to push your agenda. Of course, that's a conspiracy theory, right? It's all just a coincidence. And then they had a shooting, another shooting in Houston, Tulsa, Oklahoma, the medical teaching college, I guess, or something like that, training facility. But the gunman was specific, and he went after the enemy targets. He ignored the patients and went after doctors and nurses, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was retribution, right, for something he perceived that the medical profession did. So it's karma, really, you know.
Yeah, and you had 42 people killed in Chicago over Memorial Weekend. But that don't get no story, though.
Right, the usual mayhem in an attempt to yeah, right. So, yeah. But I thought Black Lives Matter, so I guess they don't. If it's Chicago and blacks are shooting blacks, then you can kind of just sweep it under the rug, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, black guns lives matter too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right.
But it's just something for the Democrats to blame the whites.
Yes.
The white people, they want to blame the white people for, you know. But I did a study one night on just for my own curiosity, and I wanted to know how many black cops kill black individuals.
Mm.
Dude, the percentage was, dude, you would not believe it is well over 80%. Just put it that way.
Wow.
I said, no freaking way.
So 80% of cop-induced fatalities are on blacks, 80% of them are black cops engaging in killing black people?
Exactly.
Wow. So it's like the 80-20 rule in reverse.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be specific, it was like somewhere around 92-93%, to be specific.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So where's the conclusion that whites are responsible if we're killing our own? How do you even come to that conclusion?
Because that gets more of an attention if you get somebody like Jesse Jackson and
Al Sharpton,
yeah, okay, yeah. And those two can get something magnified that, you know, a white cop killed a black individual. Which, right. I'm not saying the thing with Rodney King was justified, no, by no means, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that is just, it's just uncalled for. It's just like Morgan Freeman, I heard in the past, for those ears that hasn't heard, he's trying to start a new college curriculum. And you notice that I'm speaking intellectually when I say that type of speech, that he's trying to start a college curriculum in the way that, a new cop program to where they can go and restructurize policing populations of people. You know, where they could take a different approach.
Okay.
You know, to where they could restructurize the police as a whole.
Right, with the aim towards minimizing, the false perception of white on black, white cops on black deaths.
So just their like we heard about that little gentleman. That 18-year-old boy that where that white cop had killed that little boy in the street and shot him several times. They left him uncovered for like over an hour or something, a couple of hours. What was that, Sergeant? That little boy is 6 feet tall, and they went to that store, stole some chips or caused a big ruckus. And
oh, you talking Ferguson, Missouri?
Yeah, was that Ferguson? When they wound up burning down the city or something over
there? Yeah, yeah.
Michael something or something like that?
Right, yeah. Wow, it's amazing how things kind of fade in memory because there have been so many similar incidents, right? George Floyd kind of supplanted that one, right? Each subsequent shooting or engagement, displaces the one prior to it, right? And then that becomes the focal point. So now we think George Floyd and we forget about... the one in Ferguson, Missouri. What was his name? And even prior to that, the one down in Florida. Well, the Hispanic guy, they said it was a white guy, then they had to kind of concede it was a Hispanic guy who shot Trayvon Martin. Remember that one?
Yeah, when he was walking down the neighborhood.
Right.
All he had was candy bars and a pack of Skittles.
Yeah, supposedly. And he was wearing a hood, so that made him suspect, and he was being harassed and so forth. Yeah, all the, I think mostly false or distorted narratives, right? You don't really paint the true picture. We had one recently down in Georgia where they convicted these two white men because they shot, this guy was... supposedly just jogging, right?
Uh-huh.
But there had been like a spate of robberies in the neighborhood. So the people had cause to, you know, to be alarmed and to question, you know, people that didn't really, weren't a part of that community, right? If you're coming in there, who are you? Why are you here? You know, protecting their own. But anyway, so he ended up dead, right? So those two were convicted. So on and on it goes, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, I don't know who are the police chiefs of these departments or the captain or whomever of these police departments. But it seems like to me, I mean, I'm not saying that criminals, you know, you handle each case accordingly.
Right. By the way, that was Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri.
Michael Brown. Which one was he?
fatally shot by a 28-year-old white Ferguson police officer.
Yeah, was that the one in the street?
That was the one that was given the store owner some problems, and the cop came on the scene. And I think he went, Michael at some point, went for the cop's gun. And so the cop, you know, had to defend himself.
Yeah, per se.
Excuse me. So, but anyway, they lionized him and made him into, you know, basically a martyr or a hero, you know. So, that happened in August 2014.
Yeah, but I mean, and then we hear that, you know, okay, if the cop wound up, you know, he did have a tase, he could have tased him at some point. And I've noticed on several occasions, they could have used tasers in several occasions. That was unnecessary to use lethal force.
I think it was a limited, you know, response options because the cop was seated in his patrol car when Michael kind of reached for his gun. It was like a quick reaction situation. And then prior to that, he was being unruly and threatening. I'm just trying to go through the article and get the highlights.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That now, if you go back and you look at that video, and from what we could see,
police cam,
you know, yeah, well, whatever it was, that man, it looked like that something off a damn movie. I mean, this guy just continued to shoot him in the street.
Which one are we focusing on, the Michael Brown?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, here's Wilson's testimony, right? The police officer, I believe that's his name, Darren Wilson, yeah. He said that Brown stopped and charged him after a short pursuit. Let's see. Johnson contradicted this account, stating that Johnson was his partner, Michael Brown's friend that was with him, right? Johnson said that Brown turned around with his hands raised after Wilson shot at his back, according to Johnson. Wilson then shot Brown multiple times until Brown fell to the ground. In the entire altercation, Wilson fired a total of 12 bullets, including twice during the struggle in the car. Okay, so yeah, the last was probably the fatal shot. Brown was struck 6 times, all in the front of his body. Okay, well, see, that contradicts the shot in the back, right? He was shot from the front, right?
Well, but 5 times. But then when he was on the ground, laying on the ground, he just continued to shoot. That,
right, but his buddy said Michael Brown was trying to get away, basically. So the cop said, halt, and shot him in the back, you know, which is more or less dishonorable and, you know.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm stating, that.
In the very same paragraph, they say Brown was struck 6 times. He only shot 12, so he must have missed 6 times. And then he shot him in the car, too, initially. Okay, because Brown was trying to go for the gun in his holster. He was struck 6 times, all in the front of his body. So he didn't take advantage of his back being turned and shooting him in the back. He shot him from the front, which suggested Michael Brown was coming towards him. I mean, wouldn't you run for cover? Wouldn't you run for cover? Right?
Yeah. So how did he wind up in the street?
Because he was, it looks like he was aggressively coming towards the police officer, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a big guy. This is a big kid, right? He wasn't.
Yeah, he was 6 feet.
So he figured, yeah, I can take on this punk, you know, this cop. You know, who are you?
Let me ask you a question. Do we know, did the cop shoot him when he went for his gun?
Yes.
Or, and then what happened?
And then he must have took off running. You know, they struggled, and the cop got out of the car, and I guess he was running away. Then Michael turned around and said, "You shoot me." I can just imagine the dialogue. "Shoot me, mother effer. Come on." You know, like that. He's coming at him. So the cop shot 6 more times.
I guess the question would be, at what point is the cop justified in using lethal force, and when does that end? I mean, right. if he shot him, if he shot him when he was grabbing his gun in the car, and right. then the guy took off, he probably should not have fired at him when he was taken off, because I would think it's over at that point, right?
Because
he was unarmed, you know. He was unarmed, you know.
Yes, right.
Here's a question.
Go ahead.
Here's a question. What happens if the cop's first response was to pull the gun, and Michael was thinking that, you know, I don't want to be shot by this cop?
So yeah.
He therefore went into a wrestle, per se, for, you know, to keep the gun, and then the cop had the majority of the hold on the gun and just fired a gun to, like, per se, to stop him. Like, thought, you know, thinking in his mindset to stop
him. Hold on. So first why of all, is it- lost control of the situation. He shouldn't have been that close to him. He shouldn't have gone into his car until he secured, you know, the assailant or the perpetrator, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he should have called back up. Why would he be alone in his car, most vulnerable? Because he hadn't secured Michael Brown, right? He was still a credible threat. So you're going to just sit right there. I'll be right back. I'm going to my car. I'm going to go call some men, right? You know?
Yeah.
Then, so that may work for most people, but this guy was big.
So why not, if you feel like you're in an uncontrolled situation where, you know, he's still being disruptive, at that point, you don't make the one decision you want to make is the taser. The taser always is going to give you the you know, like the surrender of the victim, you know, of the perpetrator, you know, dropping them to the knees, and you can handcuff them. And
arrested him and secured him, handcuffs or tie ties, whatever they got.
Yes, right.
Then went in the car and possibly called for backup or whatever he needed to do on the radio. But don't leave the assailant, the perpetrator, unsecured, right? You know, he can still be.
Yeah, because if at one point he's becoming, you know, disruptive.
That's what I'm saying.
Uncontrollably. You know, he done shot him once, and he's running away. But then he turns around and he comes at you again. Why not just tase him, let him suffer the one bullet wound?
Well, I think the problem is what's the cop doing sitting in his car? And you know what I'm saying? I mean, if it's a valid stop, law enforcement stop, you know, what's he doing sitting in his car? You know what I'm saying? I mean. That doesn't make any sense.
That's
right. I'm just saying it doesn't. The cop doesn't sound like the cop followed procedure on the stop. I don't know.
Absolutely not.
That's right. The problem. And if he didn't, then the question becomes: did he have the right to use lethal force? But it sounds like someone's lying. You know.
Right.
Yeah, because it resulted in Michael losing his life, whereas that's why I'm saying that it initially was a struggle for the weapon in the initial struggle. So he shot him once, and then when he turned away, and then as he was coming back toward him, he couldn't make, because you know how much power's in that damn taser? Dude, you're talking like thousands of volts freaking shooting out of that damn thing. And it clamps onto your freaking body, dude. You're limp. I seen a
right, I guess
6 foot. 300-something right. pound man fall to
true.
His knee.
I guess the question is, what was the cop following procedure when he made the stop? I don't know. We don't know what happened leading up. I mean, I know he was in the store, and you know he stole some stuff from the store. And then how did he end up like walking up to the?
Here's a little bit more context, because this is the morning of this surveillance video, which was publicly released in the 2017 documentary. Film Stranger Fruit shows Michael Brown walking into Ferguson Market and Liquor at 1:30 in the a.m. 10 and a half hours before he entered the store for the final time. Okay, the footage shows Brown handing a young clerk a brown package believed by the filmmaker to be marijuana, and then receiving an unpurchased package of cigarillos from the store. After the video was rediscovered and made public in 2017, some, including Brown's family, said they believe Brown had left the package there for safekeeping and later returned to retrieve it. The store owner disputed this through an attorney who dismissed claims that the store traded him cigarillos for pot. Right. The lawyer claimed that the reason he, Brown, gave it back is he was walking out the door with unpaid merchandise, and they, the staff, wanted it back. The store's attorney said the video had been in the hands of Brown's family and law enforcement since the initial investigation, and said the video had been edited to remove the portion where the store clerk returned Brown's package to him. Following this, on March 13, 2017, unedited footage from the store was released by the St. Louis County prosecutor to try to settle the question. So I don't know what's like an exchange. Well,
I don't care if that's true or not. That doesn't, the guy doesn't deserve to get shot because of that. Because he's buying pot, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that has nothing to do with what the cop did.
Why not come out of your bullshit, pocket and just pay for the...
Satisfied on both ends, in other words, cigarillos for pot, they made an exchange, a mutual agreement, then why were the cops involved at all?
Yes.
It should have been,
because
you know...
Because the boy really wanted the cigarillos, is what happened.
But he traded. It was a fair trade.
Yeah. Fair trade.
Illegal. So
yeah, but that doesn't mean he deserves to get shot for doing that. So I don't even that doesn't really
not only shot.
Right, correct.
Well, what's the interest for the cops to get involved? You know, because they had established this routine. You know, I got some pillows, you got some cannabis, we'll swap, you know,
How much is a pack of cigarillos?
I don't know.
Maybe what you do if you're the cop and you know he's just getting some marijuana, you just let him go. You don't even stop him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, go arrest some burglar, someone who's raping somebody. You know, if the guy's buying pot or whatever he's doing, leave him the hell alone, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
the store, the clerk called the cops. See, we don't that disconnect for me. You got what you wanted. He got what he wanted. Why did you call the cops?
Take the money out of your pocket, man, and freaking pay for the cigarillos and give the boy the cigarillos. And, man, he come in there with a good art. You know, look, at cannabis is legal today in many states. And we're going to cry because you want a freaking, the boy wants a pack of cigarillos? Are you freaking kidding me? You know, you take his life behind some damn cigarettes?
So... what happened the second day then, when he got shot?
The incident. All right. At 11:47 a.m., Wilson responded to a call about a baby with breathing problems and drove to Glenard Drive, east of Canfield Drive. About 3 minutes later and several blocks away, Brown was recorded on camera stealing a box of Swisher Sweets cigars and forcefully shoving a Ferguson Market clerk. Brown and his friend, Dorian Johnson, left the market at about 11:54 a.m. At 11:53, a police dispatcher reported stealing in progress, you know, at the Ferguson Market, and described the suspect as a black male wearing a white T-shirt running toward Quick Trip. I guess that's a store or something. The suspect was reported as having stolen a box of Swisher cigars. This is at 11:57. The dispatch described the suspect as wearing a red St. Louis Cardinals hat, a white T-shirt, yellow socks, and khaki shorts, and that he was accompanied by another male. Ferguson Police Chief Thomas Jackson said that the incident with Brown stealing cigars had nothing to do with why he was stopped by Wilson prior to the shooting, and that the reason Brown and Johnson were stopped was because they were walking down the middle of the street blocking traffic. That's interesting. Should I go on? I mean...
Well, okay, now let's just pause for a second.
All right. Okay.
The incident about him taking the Swisher Sweets, right?
Yes.
Mama used to smoke Swisher Sweets.
Okay. I did, one time.
Okay. So the cop at that point, when he could have approached Michael, if anybody, like, if I would have been a cop, I would have said, look, Michael, you know, they're having numerous occasions. It seems like that you're having, you know, altercations with the store owner, the store clerk. You know, I'm going to pay for your Swiss sweets. Don't worry about it. I got you. You know, here's $20 to come back and purchase you some more if you want some later or whatever, right? Dude, just do us a favor. Please quit causing trouble in the neighborhood. Could you please do that? I mean, how simple can they turn these situations around as police officers?
Does your de-escalation techniques, you would satisfy the problem by paying the store owner for the lost switcher. Yes.
You would apologize for Michael and say, Michael, look, make things good. Well, look, because of the fact that I'm giving you $20, why don't you go do me a favor and go apologize to the store owner for acting the way you was acting, and then, you know, tell him you'll be back later because I gave you some cash and, you know, you'll be back to purchase some later or something. Wait, like that. You see what I'm saying?
No, that's not consistent with the narrative. The cops stopped them not because of the Swisher Sweets, because he didn't make that connection yet. He stopped them because they were waltzing in the middle of the street at 11:50, almost noon. Right? Yeah, people going to lunch or whatever they're doing. And then he's blocking traffic, basically.
Right.
So that's why the cop. Nothing really to do with the Swisher Sweets yet.
What time was the Swisher Sweets after that incident?
Around noon, because 11:54 they walked out. They left the market at about 6 minutes till noon. Yeah, 11:54 a.m.
So the Swisher Sweets was prior to them going to in the street.
Right. If they had stayed on the sidewalk, this would have never happened. But they choose.
Well, here's the thing. That's a misdemeanor, right? Walking on the street. I mean, how does someone end up getting shot and killed by a cop for, you know, doing a low level misdemeanor? That doesn't make any sense to me. Things, I don't know. I'm just saying.
As more and more is revealed. So at 12 p.m., Wilson reported he was back in service in radio units 25 and 22 to ask if they needed his assistance in searching for the suspects. Unbeknownst to him, he had just encountered the suspects, right? 7 seconds later, an unidentified officer said the suspects had disappeared. Wilson called for backup at 12:02, saying, Unit 21, put me on Canfield with 2 and send me another car. Okay, so he's doing the right thing so far. Initial reports of what happened next differed widely among sources and witnesses, particularly with regard to whether Brown was moving towards Wilson when the shots were fired. So at noon on August 9th, Wilson drove up to Brown and Johnson as they were walking in the middle of Canfield Drive, and Johnson, as they were, and ordered them to move off the street. Hey, get off the street. Come on, what's going on here? Wilson continued driving past the two men, so he told them what he had to say, and he moved on. He's looking for the Swisher Sweets suspects, right? Unbeknownst to him, I guess, he encountered them. But then backed up and stopped close to them. Oh, I guess that's it.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Take a pee break. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here
on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riff, I've been thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.